meatloaf, meatloaf, double meatloaf. I hate meatloaf.
All right. All right, I'll get that kid to eat. Where's my screwdriver? My plumber's helper. I'll open up his mouth and I'll shove it in.
Randy.
My mother was more subtle.
How do the little piggies go?
That's right. Oink, oink.
Now, show me how the piggies eat. This is your trough. Show me how the piggies eat.
Be a good boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat.
Listening to Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air. What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle Bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one-horse sleigh.
Where do you think you're going?
Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
You're goofy.
Don't piss me off, Art.
Clark. It's over.
Not according to Santa's watch, it isn't.
Now, come on, son.
Stay out of this, Dad.
Clark, I think it's best if everyone just goes home before things get worse.
Worse? How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell.
Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell.
Hold it right there. This is the concierge, sir.
I knew it was you. I could smell you getting off the elevator. You was here last night, too, wasn't you?
Yes, sir. I was.
You was here. And you were smooching with my brother.
I'm afraid you're mistaken, sir.
Don't give me that. You've been smooching with everybody. Snuffy, Al, Leo, little Mo with the gimpy leg, Cheeks, Bony Bob, Cliff.
No. It's a lie.
I could go on forever, baby.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but I'm afraid you're mistaken. We're looking for a young man.
All right. I believe you. But my tummy gun don't. Get down on your knees and tell me you love me.
Knees? I love you.
You gotta do better than that.
I love you.
Maybe I'm off my hinges, but I believe you. That's why I'm going to let you go. I'm going to give you to the count of three to get your lousy, lying, low-down, four-flushing carcass out my door. One, two.
Thank you.
tree. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a happy new year.
Any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me?
I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In
the... Jason?
What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is the swell time to go riding in a one-horse sleigh.
Christmas, everyone! Ho, ho, ho. Welcome, everyone. It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. The Holiday Spectacular. But it's actually, you know, it's episode 267. We got to keep adding to episodes so we get to 270. So this will have a number on it, just so you guys know.
Maybe we should just do the entertainment landfill in the new year, like the first episode of the new year, instead of dragging it out to 270.
No, it's already set in stone. We
all
can't,
right, all right.
We
you
cannot
have OCD. You
alter
need
the
even
course.
Number.
Well, everyone, thank you for joining us. It is Christmas time. Christmas is Christmas on Tuesday? What the?
Yeah, what? It is, because I have to.
It's so weird being on that day.
Webster.
Webster,
sorry.
Yeah, that Webster DVD is in the mail, Bill. Don't worry.
That's excellent.
But everyone, I am the Jaystrom here at Mulberry Pop Culture Center headquarters. And we have here with me for Christmas time, our holiday episode. Everyone's included. If you don't celebrate Christmas, you're Kwanzaa, whatever. Mulberry Bill.
I'm wearing my daishiki.
Yes. Hello, Bill. Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Oh, hello.
Hi-oh. Steven was really bummed out. He was all set to come home around 6.
Okay.
And then he, in Denver, he messaged me and said his flight is delayed for 3 hours and he's pissed. So I told
Snow,
him we tried to...
weather? What is it?
I'm not sure. It probably is weather. I told him we'd try to call him later, but he couldn't promise that he wouldn't be on an airplane.
Mm. I haven't been able to leave the house today. I think we got about 7 inches of the heaviest, wettest, nastiest snow ever.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's so... It's like every time I go outside with the dogs, I have to take the shovel with me. And just... It's that kind of stuff that you can't... like go and shovel, you have to actually kind of like push it as you walk, and it just builds up on itself. You could easily build a snowman out of it. That's it's so crazy. It's the heaviest shit.
I've never lived in an environment where I've had to shovel snow. It's weird.
You need to come to Ohio.
You know what? This week, I you know, worked really hard to get the holiday pack out, and it's out, Bill. The Nowhere Mulberry holiday pack has been released. It's available right now if you want
to. Have we had any takers yet?
Yeah, a few, I'm happy to say. And if you go to nowheremulberry.com, you'll find a donation button there on the right. Just click that. Donate $10 or more, and you get three awesome shows. And I got to honestly say that I worked night and day on this shit.
I'm actually really proud of the shows. I was sampling them earlier, and you always do a wonderful job with the, you know, like jazzing them up. And it just, like, I don't think they really needed that jazzed up, like, because I think our discussions are just wonderful. But they're really good. They're fantastic shows. I think people enjoy them. I think $10 is a deal.
Yeah,
I think they're worth more.
I try to make them fancy so they're worth donating. I mean, honestly, you're donating to help support Nowhere Mulberry, and the shows are like, hey, take these for donating kind of a thing. But this time, you know, in the past, we haven't been able to include Steven because he's just not available. But I made sure to include him on the week he was off. It's like, dude, you got to come over and we got to do this. But luckily what happened was a Friday that we couldn't do the show, remember? Mm-hmm. I was like, come over this Friday and we're going to do a Jaws show. And
you locked him in. You're like, you just said, we're doing a Jaws show. Sit down.
And just know this, during the entire Jaws show, my dog, Baby, was biting him in the hands and stuff through the whole thing.
So she was just replicating the experience. It was Jaws-like.
Yeah, he felt like Quint through the whole movie, just sitting there.
And was he a drunken sailor?
Yeah, he kept singing that Spanish lady song.
There you go.
You know, I want to give a shout-out to my daughter, Emma, who has been sick today. She didn't get to go to the last day of school before break. She had a fever last night. She's had a fever off and on today. And I've been working on the show all day doing clips and stuff like that. And I will run in there and check on her and hang out with her a bit. And finally, I was like, you know what? I don't have to do a show today. I can come in here, chill with you. We can watch movies or whatever. She goes, no, Daddy, you got to do your Christmas show. And I was just like, holy shit. Tear. I was like, okay. And
sweetheart.
She is a sweetheart. And I told her I gave her my phone. And I said I was going to call her and we were going to ask her about what she wants for Christmas later. So I thought she might enjoy that unless she's unconscious.
I was a little earlier. I'm just tired from... I'm so tired today from just... It's draining. When it gets, like, super, super cold out, and it's, like, that biting cold that, like, when the wind blows, and then you have the snow, and it's... Your face is bright red and burning whenever you come back in. It's just exhausting. It zaps you.
You know what I think made Emma sick is I went up to her school for the Christmas party yesterday. They all came in from the outside for recess. Their cheeks were all bright red, and they're all like, you know, that kind of, it's been really cold and windy. They'll come in, they're like, like frozen.
They force them outside. It's time for recess. Get your asses outside.
As they're coming in one at a time, I'm sitting there waiting. Emma comes walking in. Right when she walks in and I lock eyes with her, she, boom, trips, falls on her face. Her glasses go across the floor. And people are, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, are you okay? You're okay? And she's like, aah. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's...
So
well, that also hurts your pride, you know? That's embarrassing. You don't want to fall on your face in front of all your classmates.
I picked her up and I was like, are you okay? And I held her and then we went over to the water fountain and... you know, at least three or four of her classmates came over and they're like, are you all right, Emma? They were really sweet.
Oh, that's good.
Really
when
sweet.
When I was
kids.
A kid, they'd just laugh at you.
Ha ha, stupid Jason.
Fat Bill fell. He bounced.
Those bastards. What the hell?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
But I want to say something about the NIMH Holiday Pack before we forget about that, Bill. You and I did a Back to the Future show, and it was a blast.
I love that was fun. I can't wait till we do 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a blast. Hey, you, get your damn hands off her.
I can't say hey, you, without finishing with that, ever. Ever. Like, if the dog is doing something, hey, you, get your damn hands hey, off her.
Yeah, I had a blast doing that. We did a Star Wars show. Like, what's funny is we had to sit on that. Hopefully, it seems... Luckily, I was happy that no Star Wars info has come out since we did that show.
Yeah, well, there was speculation, and some of it went in line with exactly what you speculated. Like, there was a couple things there, but the Star Wars show we did the weekend, or was it the weekend of the news? Like, it was fairly recent.
Fairly recent whenever. After it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of the
but
people
still,
we talked about.
It still holds up well.
Yeah. I hope people enjoy that. You know, if you can't get enough of me and Bill talking about Star Wars.
Oh, jeez.
Bill, we have a lot
of... You might need to go to rehab if you can't get enough of us talking Star Wars.
Now, we have a lot of voicemail, and I want to get into this, Bill.
Okay.
The first one is a Roe voicemail. Do you know who the Roes are?
Brothers Roe?
Yes, sir. And I think it's the Brothers Roe. I have not had a chance to listen to it. I was right in the thick of
well, I know Pierce, one of the Brothers Roe, have actually started a podcast with two of his buddies called Three Men in a Podcast.
Nice.
And, I think we've both talked to him, given him advice on certain things. He's had questions on it. So
yes, bless
I'm excited. It's always exciting whenever somebody associated with, you know, that was a fan of your show kind of like goes, oh, let's branch out and try it ourselves, you know. And
that
so
is awesome.
I listened to their first episode, and I haven't been able to listen to their follow up. But they've got a good. I can't remember the other. I know one of the other guys is Pedro. I know that because it's Pedro. You can't forget that name. I'm sorry, I can't remember the other guy's name for the life of me.
Hello?
There he is. Vote for Pedro.
All right, let's check this voicemail out. What do you say? Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hey, guys. This is Pierce from Indiana, and I just wanted to leave you guys a voicemail because I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I am catching up on the old school NIM episodes, and I've only got about like 50 more until I'm all caught up.
Only?
I was listening to episode 211, and Foggy was using a lot of drops from Resident Evil 1, which were hilarious.
Jill Sandwich.
Yeah, and then now I'm currently listening to episode 213, and it is an episode of, I think it's Top Chef, Just Desserts, or something like that. And there's this guy on there named Zach. And,
yes.
Was really, you guys were joking about, it was just an episode with Laura and Adam and Jason. And you guys were joking about how he was drop gold. And he kept talking about disco dust and a bunch of crap like that. And he was a very effeminate gay man. And it was hilarious, that segment.
Yeah.
So,
that's an understatement.
To the holiday pack, which I think you guys said you're going to announce on this show. And looking forward to another great episode tonight. I will talk to you guys soon. Bye. Oh, I also wanted to say one more thing. Pedro called in one other time with me on a voicemail. And our buddy Pat, the three of us just started doing a podcast called Three Men in a Podcast. We talked mostly about movies. Our first episode was last Monday, and we talked about the 1977 version of The Hobbit and the new version of The Hobbit, the 2012 Peter Jackson version.
Cool.
And so I will post the link to that to our website on the NIM Facebook group if that's cool with you guys. And,
no problem.
If anybody, any NIM listeners out there would check that out, we would really appreciate it because we're trying to build a fan base with our show. So
good luck.
Thanks guys for on NIM. I really appreciate it. And I'll post that link on the Facebook group soon. So looking forward to your show tonight, guys. Bye.
I broke out the disco dust.
Ah,
I have seen him on a million different cooking shows since then.
Zach?
Yeah, like the next Not Next Great Baker, that's Buddy's show, but like those cake challenges and stuff like that. He always shows up.
Snorting buttercream?
Yeah, that guy was drop gold at the time. But thank you for that, dude. I'll definitely check out your podcast. I didn't know it was... I saw like a post about it, but I didn't get a chance. Basically, I've been in holiday pack...
hell. Like,
workload, you know?
You've been in holiday pack purgatory for the past 2 weeks.
Back to the Future, I've lived with that movie for like 5 days straight, like nothing but watching it and sound clips and editing and stuff like that.
You keep looking for Biff to come into your home and
he keeps grabbing me.
Push your wife around. Push you around.
Now, Bill, this is kind of weird. We got a voicemail from Radio Dan.
What?
Yeah, Radio Dan sent us a voicemail.
I mean, I interact with Radio Dan, sometimes on Facebook and whatnot, but once we left Talk Radio X, it just kind of like, the Radio Dan connection disappeared.
Say it ain't so, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, it just was kind of like, hey, you guys were great. Bye!
All right. You know, I still love Dan and Jessica.
I really do. I haven't listened to the show in a long time, but they are sweet people.
I've lost touch with them, and I see Dan or Jessica on Facebook all the time. And
he's funny. Good. I think what's good about Dan is that we have very similar interests, like classic TV shows.
He has great self-deprecating sense of humor.
Yeah, he's very cynical, just like us, and it's just funny.
One day on Facebook, he posted... does anyone want me to do a show tonight? And I wrote back, no. And he was like, I appreciate your honesty.
he wrote on his one page one day, he's like, here's a link to the Radio Dan show if anybody wants to check it out. And I was like, who the hell is Radio Dan? he wrote back, I don't know, but I think it's better for both of us if we ignore it or something. He's a funny guy. He's a good guy.
Well, let's check this out. Radio Dan.
Hey, I miss guys, his radio voice. Dan Delgado. I host a show called The Radio Dan Show, and I just wanted to say Merry Christmas to you both. I saw you were feeling bad. No one left you any voicemails. I've had a voicemail thing set up myself, and I haven't gotten any, so I totally relate. RadioDanShow.net, and Merry Christmas.
Wow. You know one thing? said RadioDanShow.net. He didn't plug TRX. Is he still on TRX?
No, he didn't. Maybe he and Antibird have finally come to terms.
But you know what, guys? Check out Radio Dan Show and leave him a voicemail. Come on. It's painful. I wanted to tell Pierce that. Like, are you sure you want a podcast and you're waiting for people to listen and comment and they never do? It is painful. Yeah, I gotta tell you.
It's like, let's see, it's like hitting on a girl in a bar and her turning her back to you. You know, it's dude, honestly okay. Like... there is no reciprocation in podcasting. I know that
we get
Mike,
some way
Mike
more now.
Jim Stroker versus Punter has talked about this extensively. Like, I always feel bad whenever he asks for voicemails because I know the feeling, but then I'm like, maybe I should send one. No, it's too much trouble.
Well, plus, I get self-conscious. Like, I've sent Mike and Noel... I've sent them emails about their show, What's Your Damage?
Yeah, great show.
And I got to tell you, this is stupid. As long as we've been doing the show since 2005. And when I get on the show, I'm fine.
You know, it's now the end of 2012.
The end of 2012. That's how long we've been doing the show.
Yeah,
when I'm emailing these guys, I enjoy their show. I'm self-conscious as hell. I'm like... in the fifth grade, and I've got my first zit on my forehead or something. I don't know what the hell my problem is. I'm 41 years old.
I hope they like it.
I really like your podcast. Don't hit me.
Yeah.
It says kick me on his back. Kick him.
What are you looking at, butthead?
But it's like, I know it's hard to give feedback, but guys, just... come on, do it. We appreciate any kind of feedback. Sometimes, you know, you may try to be funny and you're
not
at all,
make
but
funny
still.
Unless you're Credo.
Yeah.
So just do it.
Hey, if Credo keeps doing it, nothing gets this guy down. He's terrible.
No, he's
He
I say that with love and affection.
Yeah, he is horrible, but hey, more power to you.
Yeah, come on, persevere. We all persevere. We all need to give feedback to each other all the time.
He's the epitome of like us in high school whenever we get made fun of, and then you just pick yourself up off the ground and go, eh, maybe I am an asshole, but I'm my type of asshole.
What does that mean?
You're confident, you know?
Right. Yes, sir. We're veterans when you think about it of the podcast.
Oh, man, the podcast wars.
Yeah, let's listen to this. Okay, Pierce, this is for you. It's 2012 now. We're finally now getting some decent feedback. Think back, 2005 is when we started.
And we still haven't even broke like 50 reviews on iTunes.
Dude, I like did it again. Hey, you guys want to send a review to iTunes? I looked on there a week later. One person.
Yeah, we would get excited when we would show up on like the TV and film page on iTunes. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like we have never appeared on the front page of iTunes. Never.
You know,
we've been doing this longer than most podcasts.
What I love about the Holiday Pack, though, is I see names on there when people get it and they donate that I've never heard of from before. So there's people out there who don't give us feedback, but they do in the way of dollars. And that's really cool.
They don't give us feedback. They don't give us votes or reviews. They just give us dollars. I'll take it.
I'll take it too. All right, we have another voicemail.
I feel like a stripper. Put your dollars in my G-string.
Okay. All right, whatever works. All right, here's a voicemail from Todd.
Podcast ho.
Ho, 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 guys. Nowhere in Mulberry. This is
perfect
Todd
from
ATL. Yeah,
up,
I know
Todd?
I told you I wasn't probably going to call till next week, but little Ivy Scarlet Santini decided to show up a lot earlier than expected, and guess what? This baby likes to sleep, so that means Daddy gets to sleep, which is awesome. And yes, Ivy's name is coming from Poison Ivy from Batman, which, yay for me, because I
don't
get my
tell
way
other people that
naming
fun.
Our children. Oh. So just wanted to chime in since it's going to be the Christmas holiday spectacular episode. I had to be a part of it in some way. So hope you guys have a great show. I can't wait to hear you guys review on The Hobbit. Hopefully I can get myself out there. For some reason, my wife despises the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff.
Oh,
so if I can get out there to go see it myself, she'll
despises.
Let me break away, which she does occasionally
it's
let me do.
Strong.
Definitely can't wait to hear what you guys have to say, and hopefully it's a great movie. Anyway, guys, have a great Merry Christmas, and love you guys, and take care.
Love you too, Todd. Merry Christmas, and congratulations.
Yeah, that is a great name, though. Just don't tell people that it's comic book name. I think Ivy Scarlet, that's like a perfect like little combination of names. That's great. But she's a cutie, too. He's been posting pictures of her on Facebook. And every time he says his last name, I always think he should call himself the Great Santini whenever he calls in.
I know. That would be awesome. But thank you for that.
It's on to me.
And definitely see The Hobbit when you can. Take the baby. I'm sure people will love that.
Oh, she'll love the Goblin King.
Now, Bill, I'm kind of...
section.
Emma is all alone in the other room, and I want to call her and see if she answers
real quick.
All right? All in the spirit of Christmas. Let's see if I can call her. Why will I add to conference call? There we go. All right, let's see how this works. I don't even know if it's dialing. What the hell's going on? Okay, here we go.
There you go.
Okay, I hear the phone ringing in the bedroom. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Emma?
Hi, Emma.
Whoa, I think you hit the number keys. Hey, Emma.
Sorry. Hi.
How are you feeling?
Great.
Great. I just wanted to call you while on the show.
Great's better than bad.
Do you hear that? That's Bill.
Say,
hi, Emma. What's happening?
That's the Emma version of my laugh, I think.
That's cute.
Emma, we wanted to ask you about Christmas. What is it you want for Christmas this year?
This year?
Yeah, just tell us one thing you want for Christmas.
Backpack for Jeremy?
A what?
A password journal.
A password journal.
It's a journal that only opens to your wife.
Oh, and no one else can use it?
Yeah.
Do you have one of those, Bill?
Oh, so it's like a biosignature journal? Like you have to
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what is that thing they say in sneakers?
What is that they say in sneakers, Emma?
My name is Emma. Verify me.
Oh, yes. My voice is my password. Verify me.
Yeah, Emma. That's cool. I hope you get one. Hope Santa brings you one.
I want one now.
Yeah, me too.
Does it come in multiple colors?
It's just pink and blue.
Okay, I'll get the blue.
I think I go for the blue. Emma gets the pink.
Whoa, I'm checking it out. This is really cool. It's got like you could write in invisible ink, and the ultraviolet light shows up what you wrote.
Wow, that's really secretive.
That is cool.
So, are you going to keep some really good secrets in your journal?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, like what? Give me an idea of what a secret is. Like my daddy has stinky feet.
Peanut creamy peanut butter is better than crunchy peanut butter.
Ew.
Right. All right. Emma, are you going to be okay while I'm doing the show?
Yeah.
Okay, just remember to come in the living room if you need anything, okay?
Okay.
All right. Merry Christmas. Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Emma.
Say have a Happy New Year to everyone. Woohoo! All right, Emma. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. My sweet darling.
She sounds like she's doing better.
Yeah. I think she hung up. Let me see. Did I just hang up? Bill, you still there? And I'm going to call Bill back. You guys don't understand. Skype's a pain in the ass, okay? Let's see if I can get a hold of Bill. Bill!
You hung up on me.
Yeah, sorry about that.
How dare you?
But it's nice to hear she's feeling better. That means the ibuprofen's working.
It is.
Now we have a Sean voicemail, Bill. Let's check this out. Nice.
Hey, Mulberry guys. It's Sean in Los Angeles. Just wanted to send you guys a quick email because I know you guys are doing the holiday show tonight. I also saw that the holiday package is up, so I'm definitely going to be picking that up soon. I can't wait to hear you guys talk about Jaws, which is my favorite film of all time.
Do it now.
What else? Let's see. Oh, yeah, the name change. So Entertainment Landfill. I think it's actually a good move because I think it might help get you guys some new listeners just because Nowhere Mulberry, like I love the name and I'll probably still refer to the podcast as NIM, but some people who have never listened to it before probably have no idea what that means and they might not be as open to listening to a new podcast that they had know nothing about, whereas something like Entertainment Landfill, I think, is much more direct and tells them kind of what they're getting themselves into. But, so I support that decision. Very cool. Also, I was listening to an old school episode a little while back. I forget what number it was. It was a really old one, probably from like 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and you guys were talking about the apocalypse in 2012, which is obviously today, and you guys said that, you'd be doing a show while the world is ending, and I think it's kind of cool that you guys are actually doing a show tonight. Also very cool that the world is not ending. Yeah. So I guess, 50% success on that. But anyway, I'll definitely be listening to the show when it comes out and be picking up the holiday package soon. Everyone has happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everything. I hope everything's going well. Be looking forward to the shows. All right, talk to you guys later. Love you.
Thank you, Sean. Love you, too. Merry Christmas. Thank you for your support. And that's cool.
It's his ass. It's your ass.
Well, you know what? The Jaws show, doing that with Steven, that was a lot of fun, and I was worried it wasn't going to be that long. Dude, that thing is over 2 hours. I don't know what I was smoking.
I'm surprised that so many people think Jaws is their favorite movie. How can they think that? I think Jaws is a good movie. I shouldn't say love, but I'm just not a huge Jaws fan. Like, I respect it, and I think it's really well done, and the whole, not being seen till the end kind of thing and all that. It's wonderful, but I just, Jaws just doesn't click for me.
Listen to the show. You'll see why it does for me. I won't go into it now.
Okay. No, I'm looking forward to listening to it. Maybe it'll change my opinion.
Honestly, I don't know. I was a kid when I saw it.
I think that's key.
Yeah, with a lot of our childhood, a lot of movies that are still my favorite are my childhood favorites. Yeah. You know, it never changes. It does sometimes. They move around on the list if you have a list.
Well, it's funny, as we watched The Goonies for the last holiday pack, it actually moved down my list. Yeah, I was like, man, this is not very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But a lot of the other movies, Jaws still stays in that spot. But, yeah, The Goonies, no.
Shut it down. Shut it down forever.
All right, Bill, we have another voicemail. This one from Adam. Let's check it out.
Merry Christmas, Nowhere in Mulberry. I sure do love you guys. I'm looking forward to hearing all the holiday spectaculares, and I'm looking forward to donating some cashola and getting to hear these NIMH movie minis in this Star Wars special. I love me some NIMH specials. I love it. So, I'm looking forward to all of that. I hope that everyone has a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And, yeah, that's about it. I just wanted to send this in and let you guys know that I really appreciate your show. I think you guys have a really good chemistry. And I think that, you know, you guys just keep up the good work with your little internet show. All right, bye.
That's really what it comes down to. Adam knows us all too well.
How's your little internet show going, Jason? It's going great. Thank you for emasculating me.
Yeah, I always like that whenever, like, I'll talk to my mom. She'll go, so are you doing your show tonight?
How's your cute little show doing? It's cute.
Yeah, Mom, I'm doing the show tonight.
What is it called again? Nowhere Mulberry. What?
Who?
Nowhere Mulberry. No, you say that again.
Is it about mulberries?
Nowhere Mulberry. I don't say it slow on purpose. Yeah. Nowhere Mulberry. No, really.
It's kind of like Soba Pants.
Soba Pants. Nowhere Mulberry.
No Mulberry.
See, our new show, it'll be E.T. Landfill, bitch box. Now shut the F up. Bam! Punch him in the face.
Right in your face. Yeah. Just punch him with it.
Boom!
Entertainment Landfill, mother effer.
You know,
deal with it.
Sometimes, you know, a lot of times I'm a quiet person and shy in public, but for some reason this morning I went and got some donut holes for Emma, and I got donut holes for Heather.
I don't know why
that
made me laugh.
But I
donut
said,
holes.
I said, could I have 2 dozen donut holes, preferably 1 dozen in each bag? And the lady goes, boom, like that, just two bags already filled, and I just out loud I go, bam! When she set it down, and I have no idea why I did that.
Boom and bam.
But she was just like, boom! And I was, bam! Damn! You whipped those out!
Why donut holes? I just gotta ask.
I don't know. They love donut holes. I like the outside part of the donut. The middle part, the donut hole, I don't like that in the donut, you know?
Okay, because you feel like it's missing something. It's a void.
No, I like apple fritters and cinnamon rolls.
Oh, holy crap. That sounds awesome. And I can't eat those anymore.
That's why I will die at an early age.
Yeah, I can't eat any heavy starches anymore. One, it sits in my pouch because I no longer have a stomach. I have a pouch that can hold about a cup of food. And anytime I eat like a donut or something, if it does, you know, digest... Hello, Montezuma's Revenge.
Whoa.
My body just doesn't handle starch or fat anymore, and it's just like, no, not going to happen.
Just them out. Shit all of them out. Whole.
Yep, that's what happens.
Well, that's one. Donut holes, they're small, and you eat like 6 of them. Hey, it's better than eating 6 donuts.
Well, it's like 6 donut holes is probably the equivalent of like 1 donut. So that's,
yeah.
It like... You feel like you're getting more pleasure, you know? It's like...
I don't, for some reason, like, she was sick, and I don't... Donuts? I don't know.
Where do you get them?
She ate a couple of them, huh?
Where do you get the donut holes?
It's just like a donut shop, like, a block from here.
Oh, so it's like a Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts?
No. It's like a local. It's like all Asian people run it.
Nice. So it's like a bakery, like a donut bakery.
Right.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
And their fritters are awesome.
Yeah, there's a place in Zanesville, Ohio called Donald's Donuts, and that's all they do is donuts. So they'll, like, work through the night making donuts, and then in the morning they open up, and then by the time, you know, it's like you would think that they were giving away free illegal drugs there or something.
Anyone need a donut?
Because there are lines out the door.
Nice. Like, it must be good.
When they run out, it's, oh my God, they are beyond good. They're transcendent. It's like when you eat one, you go into a higher level of existence.
I'm rolling a big donut.
Yeah, it's donut nirvana. Before I had my surgery, that was one of the things I requested because I knew I'd never be able to eat them again. I requested Donald's donuts and birthday cake and ice cream. So that was my final meal.
Hell yizzle. All right, Bill, we have it. Oh, Bill, come on. Here, I'm going to sing you a song. Tis the season to be John. Oh, wait, that doesn't help anything.
Blow it out your ass.
What about a Rick voicemail?
Whee! That'll help.
Hi, guys.
He's got music.
Merry Christmas. Oh, what a wonderful year it's been. You know what you need to do? You need to, like all the TV shows out there, like doing a recap on 2012 and all the best parts of their year, and they're doing like montages of all the funny things they've got up to. You guys need to do like a quick one like that. You know, I would, but I'm too lazy to put in that much effort. I don't even edit my voicemails anymore because I'm that lazy. It's not even that hard. Cut out some ums and ahs, you know, like I used to. Yeah, I listen back to some old episodes.
Well, it's the antivert rules.
You know, it's just gold. You know, the whole year's been great, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Killing me.
You know, it's been a great pleasure listening to you guys for another year. And I think this entertainment landfill idea that you guys have come up with is spot on, and it's what needs to happen, and I'm just looking forward to you guys getting, you know, some more followers and stuff, because Entertainment Landfill, I personally love those episodes that you brought out. It was magical, and I think this is going to be a great thing for you guys, so let's just enjoy some music.
I love all the joy.
It's the Die Hard song. Yippee-ki-yay.
I need me bum, some bear bonds.
Bum, 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 bum,
bum. Yeah. California.
So have a great show, guys, and I look forward to another year of Entertainment Landfill, I guess.
Hell yes. Yes. I won't say that anymore.
With this new show name, I expect some new, like, things. Pardon me, just burped.
Excuse you.
But you know what I mean. Like, like a little picture, artwork. There's got to be Entertainment Landfill artwork, and someone's got to come up with that. Anyone who's up, who's doing that? If you guys got to sort it out, yeah. I don't know what's happening.
He needs a new block because, of wood. Because, you know,
I'm just curious.
It'll take a year for him to get
stuff. Like, who invented ants? Man, they're crazy. Anyway, have a great show. Huh? And,
wait, did he
know,
just ask who invented ants?
I think he
Merry
said
Merry Christmas
could...
to all and to all. Okay, bye. Kisses. Merry Christmas. Hope you got everything you wanted.
Wait. You don't think that Rick is.
I think he is. No. It would make sense.
Saint Rick. Yes. Thank you so much, Rick.
That was on TNT the other night, and I was like, whoa, they're jumping the gun.
And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
I actually have a some artwork to reveal later.
Oh,
something
really?
That's being worked on, yeah.
Because I was wondering what, you know, because I'm kind of, I guess I was kind of waiting to put the forum back up once we, like, finalize the entertainment landfill stuff. Because I was actually trying to salvage it today, and I'm having a really difficult time, like, hair-pullingly difficult time because of my screw-up. And
No, we're all in this together.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, like, are you personally working on it? Is it going to be a J-Strom special?
G.I. Joe.
God, that smelled good.
Yes and no.
Okay.
I've got something very secret. No, it's not secret at all, but I've got something in the back burner. It's just I've been really distracted by the holiday pack. But
I can't wait.
We're going to have something cool. I hope.
And you know what? I'm going to reveal it right now since we just talked to Rick, and Rick actually just got his ornament from Steven.
I love you!
For having the largest donation to the holiday pack.
Right. He did that last year.
Whoever makes the largest donation is going to get something from me. From me personally, from something. I haven't decided what it's going to be, but it will be special and it will be cherished.
It's brown and furry and it's alive.
Yes, and its name is Webster.
What's in this box?
I am going to ship him through the mail.
Just, you know, put some holes in it. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. No, honestly, I'm gonna send whoever makes the most generous donation something, and it will come less than 12 months later.
Yes, bless Steven's heart. It will show up eventually. All right, Bill, I'm ready to talk some Hobbit, man. Thanks, everybody, for your voicemail. Let's do this. Entertainment! Did I just say yabba-dabba-doo?
Yabba-dabba-doo. Zell in the chat room asked if it's my old stomach. No, so I didn't get to keep that. That went in the biohazard disposal bin.
Holy shit!
I'm going to go ahead and say that's a little disturbing there, Zell. What the hell, dude?
Well, come on, it's Zell. We've dealt with his kind before.
He's one messed up Canadian.
He's that's Canada. We've got a lot of strange Canadian fans.
Oh, man, that was my stomach, Bill. I'm kind of hungry.
Oh, sounds like the Goblin King.
Oh, man, I love that.
Okay, you know what? You know, I got a weak stomach. That's all I can really take.
Oh, okay, sorry. All right, Bill, let's talk about The Hobbit. I have seen the film once.
I've seen it once also.
I don't know if I can call it a film if it's been shown
digitally.
It was filmed digitally.
Does it count as seeing it once if you see it in awesome 3D and high frame rate? I think it should count as, like, multiple times.
We both saw the film in high frame rate in 48 FPS, as they say. It's
first-person shooter.
I think it's funny, some people I've read go, I'm going to go see it in FPS. It's like, that means frames per second, though any movie you see is going to be FPS something.
It's like, I would like him to say, like, I'm going to see it in 100 SPF, like, just so that they're extra protected from the ultraviolet rays.
Right, you know, you can never be too safe.
Mm-hmm.
But
you don't want cancer.
Let's talk about the experience of 48 FPS, and that is, I'd read all about it. I think we both had. Mm-hmm. I'd even read an interview with Peter Jackson where they were telling him that there's stuff that you notice, like it seems sped up a little, and he goes, yes, that can happen. Things look like it's on a set. It looks like reality or whatever. He goes, yes, that's it. Basically said, either you like it or you don't. And so I went in there thinking that, and the first few minutes was kind of like, looks sped up or whatever.
It's jarring, yeah, like when Bilbo's walking around and it's just his voiceover, and then, like, the first time I noticed it was whenever he opens the chest.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait, it looks like it's in fast forward. Wait a second. Okay. And then I knew I had heard that people say it looks like it's in fast forward, but I also knew that it was my brain fighting with my eyes.
I knew that, like, it wasn't fast forwarding. I knew that
exactly.
It was just...
That's key to it. You have to know that what you're seeing isn't what you're seeing. Like, you have to actually calm your mind and kind of just absorb it and tell yourself what you're seeing isn't what you're seeing. And then slowly but surely it starts to click.
It's kind of like, I think of it as Bud Brigman in The Abyss when he first starts breathing in the liquid, the breathable liquid. At first he kind of rocks and they're like, hold on.
Just wiggling around.
But because when I first was watching it, it was like a little weird. I mean, it does look gorgeous, but
it's
like
stunning. And I think that's why it's so off-putting, is that it's so clear. Like, I've never, like, you can see the pores on the people's faces. Like, it's so clear.
Yeah. And I was like, well, it was funny because I was self-conscious. Like, is this bothering Steven too? I wonder, or... Like, you're real self-conscious at first, and then you just watch it, and it immediately pulls you in with the attack of the smog and stuff of the dragon.
Yeah.
And you're getting into the storyline, and there are little things at times that bring you out of it, but I think as the movie goes on, you really just forget about it.
You do, and I think what you're saying with the smog thing, that was a good introduction in that, because of the clarity, because of the lack of motion blur, the editing feels jarring at first. Mm-hmm. Because there's no... It just seems like the cuts are too quick. But the thing that... At first I was like, wow, this looks like it's on a set, and this looks kind of fakey. And then I was like, you know what? No, it looks like it would look if I was in that world. That is what it is. It was like I let myself adjust and feel like I'm totally immersed in this now. This is where I am.
And I felt that way too. I was admiring the makeup. The dwarves, their makeup is flawless. The hair, the facial hair, in the Shire, Bilbo's house looks like a livable habitat.
Yeah, it looks like you're living... The books on the shelves, the little items here and there, it looks lived in. It looks real. I think that's what – you don't appreciate that as much with that kind of fog of normal film, like the 24 frames per second. It feels like you're watching something but whenever you're 48 frames per second, whenever you finally settle in, it almost feels like you're living it.
I think this is a perfect kind of film to do this in, too, instead of like a based-in-reality kind of movie, like a thriller or something. It was cool that it was this fantasy epic,
Yeah, and it won't work for every film. It will not work for every film. This is not a format to use for, some drama with the, British actors or something. It's just not that sort of thing.
With Julia Roberts wouldn't be good.
Yeah, Eat, Pray, Love would not look good in 48 frames per second.
But I really enjoyed the film, too. I'd read some reviews, and this is, honestly, this is the year that a lot of people... Well, even when he announced he was filming with red cameras, he wasn't going to do it in film, and it was going to be in 48 FPS. A lot of people turned on him, oh, it's going to look terrible and stuff. So a lot of people had already been turning on Peter Jackson, right?
Yeah.
And so when the movie came out, I'd read some reviews of people like, it's too long. Honestly, I didn't feel like the movie was too long at all. When it was over, I was like, dude, that's already like almost 3 hours? I didn't notice it at all, the running time. I bought into the movie hook, line, and sinker. I was there, and I love the storyline. And I'd forgotten how cool Peter Jackson stages fight scenes. They're so much fun,
Yeah.
It's
and
just
I think
a blast.
That, there was some complaining from certain people who shall remain nameless about how, the fights are almost Rube Goldberg-esque.
Mike Kiley on Facebook.
And you know what? I think that's what makes it so wonderful and fantastic in that whole fantasy realm is that...
Right. He's talking about this... the Goblin City, Goblin Alley.
It's exciting, and it's fun, and it's goofy, and it's...
That chase scene, my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah, I said that to you whenever, the moment the movie was over, I called you on the phone. I was like, wow. I was like overcome with emotion. I felt like on the edge of tears. I was
so
moved.
It was the most awesome thing I'd ever witnessed. And then when the, you know, the goblins are flying everywhere, they're on ropes and stuff, shit is going everywhere, and all of a sudden you hear the Wilhelm scream when a goblin falls or whatever. I was just like, yes! And I was like clapping, yeah! And there's a scene where the dwarves are holding a ladder and they're using it to like push them off the edges and stuff. All that shit was so awesome.
And then that part with like where they use almost like just like one of the fallen poles and they're like using it like a battering ram and they're just sweeping them off to the sides and all that.
When Gandalf shows up and he does that deafening like flashbang with his staff, it was like, it like deafens the audience too, like and blinds you for a second, and it's like holy shit, you know. And dude, I cannot get over the mountain rock giant things. Oh. That shit was, I was giddy, like laughing and turning to Steven, and we're just kind of like giggling. It was just like awesome.
It was just so much fun. See, that's what I think. So many people are so caught up in like the technical aspects and the fight between film and digital and all that, and they just lose like it was childlike in its joy.
Right.
Like I haven't experienced that in a film in a very long time. You know, I loved Avatar, but I didn't feel like that childlike joy that I did with The Hobbit. Like it was just so much freaking fun. Like you can tell that Peter Jackson had a blast making this. Like
it does have a lighter tone with this hint of darkness beneath
it. Yeah. And plus, I mean, come on, the dwarves are just awesome. Like you don't even have to know all their names. You get to, they geniusly made it so that you recognize them or know their character or their personality by the way they look.
Well, I know who Thorin is because I thought he was awesome.
Well, that's because Thorin Oakenshield is just a freaking badass.
I love that Oakenshield thing he's got. So is his real last name something else until he picked up that shield and now that's his last name?
Well, I don't think they ever used last names in the Dwarven Kingdom because it was always like, you know, son of Thorin or Thane, son of Thorin, and all those.
Thorin,
I can't remember what it is, but whenever something epic happens and they're like, whoa, he kicked this, you know, troll's ass with an oak, an oak log, and they're like man,
trunk,
he's Oakenshield. He's awesome.
Yeah, and another thing is, I've never read any of the books. I haven't read Lord of the Rings. I haven't read The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the first page of The Hobbit after I watched the movie, and I thought it was so cool that line is in the movie when Bilbo goes to write it. That's sweet, man.
There's a lot of, you know what's wonderful is, there's a lot of scenes in the film that aren't in the book,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a lot of the lines, like the classic lines, they took and put in Song of the Lonely Mountain. Like, that entire song is basically lines from the book.
Oh, I love that song, too, when they're all singing that in Bilbo's house. And
that is hardcore. Like, when that deep, like, booming voice, and then just the song, it gave me goosebumps. Like, I can't listen to it enough, and the score is just fantastic.
And in 48 frames per second, and the camera goes into the room, and they're all standing there in thorns in front of the fireplace, and he's like, two dungeons deep, and all that, and he's like, got his pipe. It is awesome!
That honestly, that was the point where it was the song and the plates and all that stuff was great, but the moment they're all kind of like just sitting around the fire and realizing the shit storm they're about to get themselves into, and he starts singing that song and all that, I was like, I'm sold. I'm in.
And you know what's funny is sometimes, like, I wasn't sure how, I wanted to see The Hobbit really bad, but I'm not like this big Tolkien guy, but I read some reviews. Sometimes when I really want to see a movie, I don't read reviews. I just want to go see the movie. So I read a couple, and they're like, it takes a little too long. There's too many dwarves at the beginning. So I found myself defending the movie as I'm watching it to that anonymous reviewer. I'm like, this is bullshit. I love all this dwarf stuff at the beginning. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's nitpickery, and it's particularly bad with this film because they want to hate on it. I mean, I feel an incredible amount of hate because it's so different. It's trying something new. And instead of embracing Peter Jackson's ability to innovate and try new things, they want to hate on it.
I know. I can understand trying it out and being like, well, I don't know. I don't think you can easily dismiss 48 frames per second. I think you can. I think, if anything, there's some good things and bad things about it. The bad thing about it is that at first you have to get used to it. It pulls you out at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I was saying there needs to be like this preview, like a mini feature, like some kind of cartoon or something, and get your eyes adjusted, and then the movie starts.
There needed to be a 10-minute introduction, like hi, with Peter Jackson sitting down and going, hi, I'm Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson riding
what
a
you're
bicycle
about to watch is The Hobbit in 48 frames per second. Let me explain some things to you. Let me show you a couple things, and let me get you ready for this experience that is brand new. You know, there just needed to be an introduction to kind of get your brain settled and get yourself into the film.
They could do something like a Roger Rabbit thing, you know, or some kind of like just short with a cartoon or computer animated in high frame rate. And like then when the movie starts, your eyes are all adjusted and your brain is adjusted.
I also thought that there would be something like from – I saw it in AMC theater, and I thought there would be something like – welcome to the new high frame rate, you know, something like that just to get you. And it was just, it was like, it was funny that it said, you're now ready, you know, feature presentation, and it froze, and it was frozen for like 2 minutes. Like it needed the 48 frames per second, like needed to load or something. I thought it was like, oh shit, did it break? Like I was worried, and then it started, but cause it's jarring. It really is jarring at first, but once you settle in, it's fantastic.
I waited in line for a long time. I'll let you know what Steven does. Is he shows up to a movie whenever he wants because I'm the jackass standing in line.
Yeah.
But there's people behind me. They're like, is this in that frame rate thing? And the guy goes, I don't know. And I just want to go, yes, it is. What the hell is wrong with you?
Can you not tell?
Well, they hadn't seen the movie yet.
Clearer and more vivid?
Once they were sitting in the movie, of course they would. But one thing I wanted to also say, no eye strain with 48 frames per second. Like 3D, it's it doesn't bother you.
No, not at all. And I don't really have an issue with eye strain, but I found myself lifting my glasses going, wow, this looks like really bright and especially vivid. What's going on here? Like, because so many people complain about how dark 3D is, and it just seemed like, I mean, maybe you didn't have the same experience, but it looked like you had to have the glasses on.
Right.
Like, it just, I don't know, it's hard to describe how it didn't, maybe it's because 48 frames per second is closer to how our eyes see. Mm-hmm. It's not exhausting
for
them.
Yeah.
I think it's more exhausting for your brain to kind of wrap your mind around what you're seeing than for your eyes.
Right. So, I mean, I would say I could understand if you think it's a mixed bag, but to just dismiss it outright, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, it's released in multiple formats in the theaters. We're at a day and age where you could see it in 2D, you could see it in 3D, regular 24 frames per second and 48 frames. I love that we have another option, and mm-hmm. I don't know of any other movies that are coming out like this except for the next Hobbit movie, and I'm really excited that there's two more of these long movies, and there's going to be these.
I'm super excited.
Dude, I haven't watched the Lord of the Rings movies in a long time, and I've told you before I've never seen the extended editions, but after I watch The Hobbit, I go...
The fact that you've never seen the extended editions offends me, because those are... I mean, the extended editions are the films. Like, they expand on the story so well, and they just flesh out everything. Like, the Two Towers, like, all the extra stuff with Merry and Pippin and all that. And it's just so good. So the extended, in fact, I was going to watch them again here shortly because it's a time investment.
That's what I was saying, that after I finished the movie, I was like, I want those Blu-rays. Are those out on Blu-ray, Bill? And you're like, yeah, they've been out for a while. And I was like, I need those.
Yeah, I was surprised that I thought you had them. Like, that's why I was like, they've been out for a while, dude.
I was thinking, like, while I was doing the NIMH movie mini. You know what's so funny is I would confuse myself. The NIMH mini movies or movie mini.
And
on the shows, I go, welcome to another NIMH mini movie. And then why did I call it that?
Back to the Future.
I did it on Back to the Future and Jaws.
Oh, really?
But what I was going to say is I was like, do the movie minis for the Lord of the Rings extended editions with all the movie clips.
It would be 4 hours long.
It's like movie mini my ass. Movie extended.
Yeah, it's
a movie mini extended edition.
Films. I'm happy that Peter Jackson has gone back to that world.
Peter Jackson.
But I do wish I would like to see more from him that isn't in the Tolkien verse. But it seems like anytime he's outside the Tolkien verse recently, it kind of falls flat. Like that, what was it? The Lovely Bones. God, that movie was bad. King Kong was
He needs to stick with what he's interested in. I almost think if there would have been a shortened version instead of extended of King Kong, like he did extended of Lord of the Rings, but a shortened version of King Kong, that would have been way better.
Yeah, I just wasn't a big. I
thought it was too long
for King Kong. Like, you know, the its technical achievements, but King, it just didn't work for me at all.
Yeah, I mean, it had some fantastical sequences, but it just was long. It was long, you know.
I want another Peter Jackson film, tongue in cheek horror. Like The Frighteners. The Frighteners is one of my all-time favorite films.
Or like even like Dead Alive.
Returned
to the zombie.
Can you imagine
genre?
Seeing something like that in 48 frames per second?
Oh, I know. That would rock. Oh, there's
I mean,
a part where...
It would be so gross.
What is it? Radagast, the wizard? When he sees that ghost?
Oh my God, I was so happy. Radagast is hardly a character in The Hobbit. Hardly. Like, I think he's mentioned by name. Uh-huh. But they turned that character into... such an awesome character to actually, and the guy that plays it is Sylvester McCoy, one of the Doctor Who's, one of the Doctors.
Dude, I love when Gandalf says, "Take a toke of my pipe," or whatever, and he's like, his eyes go cross-eyed, like,
and smoke comes out of his ears.
And later on, the Sauron is like, he eats too many mushrooms. So yeah. The dude is living in the woods, like, just eating shrooms and living with the animals.
He's a hippie, and he's fantastic. And
dude,
that,
his bunny rabbits.
Oh, man, his rabbits and then his porcupines, whenever one of them starts dying. I was like, no, don't die, cute little porcupine, don't.
Oh, I know. Did you notice when the rabbits are about to start, they shake one of their feet, like, and then they start running real fast? That was awesome. Yep.
I that was that entire sequence of them running through and then him drawing the trolls off of them and all that. That was so fantastic.
It was funny because he would circle around and come back close to him and they're like, damn, and they would like go hide again, and then he would ride away, and then
I can't remember what the rabbits were called, but there was like this wonderful line, like, do you know what kind of rabbits these are?
He's like, they'll be able to catch you. These are like the Ferrari of rabbits. Yeah, they're like, they'll catch you. And he's like, turns to him like, dude, do you even know what kind of rabbits these are? Nothing will catch
these
you.
These rabbits are as high as I am.
But it's a lot of fun. I think everyone should check out The Hobbit. And Bill Jack Reacher came out this week.
It did, man. I wanted to go see it so freaking bad today.
I want to see it, too. I definitely want to see it.
I'm going to go see it tomorrow because the snow is supposed to taper off, and then we're not supposed to get a big storm again until after Christmas. So tomorrow is Jack Reacher Day.
I promised Emma I would take her to see Monsters, Inc. in 3D when she feels better.
I saw that. I had no idea that was out.
I had no freaking idea.
And yeah. I love Monsters, Inc. That's one of my favorite movies. It's like Monsters, one of the Inc. last good films Billy Crystal did. Now we have to deal with parental, what the hell is that? Parental guidance or whatever?
Oh, that looks horrendous.
Can you get any more ball kicks and pratfalls into one trailer?
Wow, that Seth Rogen movie with Barbara Streisand, yikes. What the hell?
Yeah.
Wait, what is that one? The one with the parents, that's with the...
Billy Crystal. The Guilt Trip. The Guilt Trip with Seth Rogen.
Right. I was getting him mixed up.
Yeah, that trailer for that. I saw that trailer for that, and I was just like, wow, that's Seth Rogen.
Now, on Christmas, though, Django Unchained comes out.
I was just so excited for that movie, and then Quentin Tarantino starts talking, and I'm just like, you know what? F you, dude. Like, he's just such an incredible asshole.
Was he talking about high frame rate, or... Because I know he doesn't like digital.
He honestly, well, other than that, yeah, it's TV in public. No, just his political statements and all. I mean, he's so freaking out of it. Like, he just makes the dumbest statements about how, like, the prison system and the war on drugs is modern-day slavery. Like, he's trying to stay current and, like, try to make his film important, more important than it is.
Oh,
and he just says the dumbest freaking things I've ever heard.
Right. I take him as, like, an eccentric kind of guy that's
he's more than eccentric. He's if Radagast is eccentric, Quentin Tarantino borders on retarded.
I'm pretty sure he's a Waken Baker, you know?
Oh, he's beyond a Waken. He's talked about it on Howard Stern, about how he smokes an incredible amount of hash.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, his brain, you know, anyone he
meets. Hunter on my Facebook page says that he's done so much cocaine that his bone marrow actually produces it now. Like, it just...
How does he know he's done coke? Come on. Oh, in the 80s?
How does he know? I think it's pretty obvious.
He's sitting there right there with him doing lines. That's why, Hunter. Hunter S. Deucing.
I have no idea how to pronounce his last name. That's why I didn't say it.
I believe it's Deucing. The Deuce.
He's
Hunter the Deuce.
He's a Midnight Movie cowboy.
Yes, he is.
Him and Stewart.
But dude, I love Quentin's movie so much. I know he's insane, but he's really good at what he does. Sometimes
I have a hard time with some of his films. I feel that he's too much of the video store like filmmaker. Like, he just wants to kind of he never went to film school. He just wants to kind of emulate what he loves.
But
and sometimes
I know
it gets to be
too he's much. Heavily influenced by what he likes, but he does a good job of what he does. I am
happy he admitted that movie he did for the Grindhouse thing is the worst movie he's ever done.
It has its moments, but yeah, it's not really a movie. It's
no,
just
not.
Kind of an exercise. But
it's not even a Grindhouse film. I've seen better Grindhouse films than that.
I mean, I enjoyed it when I saw it and I was excited about it. But yeah, it's not a movie. It doesn't feel like a movie. It feels like part of something, which it was. And
I'm excited about Django Unchained, but I just wish he would just calm down and make his films and just be quiet and smoke his hash.
Well, that's like in interviews and stuff, they want him to say something topical. How do you feel about this? I'd rather him talk about film, honestly. I'd like when someone publishes his top 10 movies of the year, and there's always some really weird ones on there, or one.
Yeah, he had like Death Race, the most recent Death Race on his list.
He likes trash cinema, and I think that's cool. I mean, I appreciate his views when he's talking about film and stuff. He's a film purist, but here's what I want to ask him, because he's talked about how he wants to make a certain number of films and retire, right? Mm. He's talked about he loves television. He watches TV. He loves old TV sitcoms and stuff. I want to ask him, dude, do you watch TV now, like Mad Men or Game of Thrones or whatever, Breaking Bad? Why not have Quentin make a TV show?
Yeah. Well, why be so so dismissive of digital, calling it TV in public whenever he, you know, has shot TV? And I don't think he shot CSI on film. I highly doubt it.
He means something by that. We just don't understand what he's talking about.
I think he's like on another level.
I think he means like film as this personal, like immersive thing that you're sucked into it. And he feels like digital, it's like, oh, it doesn't feel like film. And I'm like, it's this organic thing. It feels like this artificial NutraSweet synthetic thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but it's also very snobbery.
Right.
Know?
It'll take him a few years, and he'll film something in digital and go, okay, well, you know. I think there's a place for both. That's the thing I don't understand. Why outright dismiss something? Just choose what you like to work with and
Do what you need to do. You know,
I don't know.
Make a film and make it look like film. Throw some grain filters on it.
For all I know, maybe studios are going, you need to go digital. It's cheaper. I don't know. Maybe they are, and that's what
they are. That's the entire reason is that film stock is expensive and film stock goes bad.
But let me ask you this:
how many salt mines are filled with old film stock that we're losing films daily?
Well, let me ask you this: Let me ask you a question.
Oh, my God. Somebody did that to me on the phone today, and I wanted to slap them.
Oh, my gosh. Don't hit me. But let me ask you this. If you filmed a movie on 35-millimeter film or whatever in Kodak film stock, if that exists anymore, but then it was shown on a digital projector.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything wrong with that?
It looks like shit.
Oh,
I mean, it honestly does. I think there was an example they did.
I think there's a way they can show it.
At the Wexner Center for the Arts, where they shot, like, they showed the 35-millimeter print trailer of the Star Trek from 2009, and then the digital trailer of the, you know, the same trailer digitally in 2K from Star Trek 2009. And when you watch, like, a film that was shot digitally, transferred to film, it looks like
shit.
No.
I mean the other way around. Shot on film, shown digitally.
It looks fantastic. It looks the same because, again, another example, I went to see The Guns of Navarone, which was a 4K restoration. So they took the film, transferred it to a digital, high 4K, one of the highest frame rates we have, or not frame rates, but resolutions we have right now. And the only thing that was missing from it is that judder that you get with a film when it's in the gate and it's going through. It kind of has that, like, unstable look to it. That's gone. And it still looks like film. The grain is still there. You know how in the older films, whenever there's that, like, a scene transition and it kind of darkens and gets real grainy?
Yes, I can.
That's still there. It looks fantastic.
I have no problem. Quentin, film on film, but I want to see your film displayed digitally.
If he films on film, well, you're only going to see Django Unchained digitally.
Right.
There aren't many theaters left that show 35-millimeter film. Unless you're going to a special art house, Django Unchained is going to be shown digitally.
The Cinemark that I would go to, a couple of, like, the big XD theater, that's all digital, but a couple times you'll go to a movie and it's in one of the little theaters, and I would know when, oh shit, this is a film theater, and I would know it because you would see the little cigarette burn or whatever the hell that shit
is. Well, also, not only the cigarette burns, but those little digital, like, dots in the top right
corner.
And
I hate it. I'm so done with film.
The last film I saw in film was Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and it looked like shit.
Yeah, like, I'm all for, I love the look of film, but I want to see it projected digitally. That's what
All you have to do is look at the new 4K restoration of Lawrence of Arabia, the 4K restoration of Guns of Navarone. Those films look fantastic. They look better than they've ever looked before. I forget who does the digital restorations on these films, but they retain the look of film.
Nice.
You know, it's just, it's stunning. There's no reason to be poo-pooing of the digital realm. Digital is a much better format to keep films. You know, you're not going to have that constant worry of the degradation of the film. And I just don't understand why someone would be so hateful of it.
And
at all.
Just afraid of change or something. But let me ask you this. When CDs came out, some people were pissed about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, but come on, we were moving from cassette. I mean, we basically went from, albums, 8-track cassette to CD.
Well, like, we all know that vinyl sounded really good. In fact, sound better in a lot of ways.
And it still sounds better. I prefer it.
I mean, you can easily scratch an album. Digital is good. You can do high bit rates of digital recordings, and it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it does.
Some people, like, they
use, like, a lossless codec, like FLAC, or even you just use straight PCM and you record it at the highest, you know, kilohertz, the highest, like, bits, like 32-bit floating, you know, all that shit. And it still sounds good. As long as it's a lossless codec, the sound is going to be pretty much identical.
I just think in a lot of ways, when something's new, people have to piss on it a little bit. There's the early adopters and there's the sect that's like, oh, this is bullshit, I don't want any of this. Like, for instance, I feel that way about when 4K displays start coming out, I'm going to be pissed because I can't afford that shit, and I have my HD TV, and I don't
You don't have to worry about 4K displays because there's only a handful of things that even are in 4K.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm going to not want to want it.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, Bill, we're both going to see Les Mis tomorrow, right?
Huh?
Bill, what do you say we take a break? We only have like 4 shows to talk about. Oh shit, I forgot about something I prepared for early in the show. All right, okay, forget that. We're going to take a break in a second, but first, Bill, before the movie entertainment part is over, I have a Leonard Maltin review. A special Christmas treat. Leonard Maltin reviews Back to the Future.
Cool.
Woohoo, let's check it out. Let's see what old Lenny thought of it.
The second of 4 Steven Spielberg films to be released or re-released this summer is called Back to the Future. Leonard Maltin is here with a review.
Party! You made it!
Yeah!
Welcome to my latest experiment. This is the big one, the one I've been waiting for all my life.
What an experiment, and what a lot of fun. Back to the Future is a high-energy film full of great ideas and good spirits. And it starts out with a premise I can never resist. Time travel. Now here's the twist. Michael J. Fox travels back to the 50s and has to play matchmaker for his own mom and dad. It's going to be a real challenge to get these two together.
Lorraine?
You said it, Leonard.
Calvin! I'd like to meet my good friend George McFly.
Hi. It's really a pleasure to meet you.
I am your density.
How's your head?
Good. Fine.
Oh, I've been so worried about you ever since you ran off the other night. Are you okay?
The great clip,
there's
Leonard.
One complication after another, and there's a kind of vicarious kick in figuring out how Michael J. Fox is going to work it all out.
Yeah.
Incidentally, he's terrific. And at his side is Christopher Lloyd, who's just dynamite as the mad scientist.
He's terrific dynamite.
Back to the Future takes a while to get going, but it actually gets better as it goes along. And the finale is a wow. Now, everybody
is
talks about this as being a Steven Spielberg film, but the truth is it was written and directed by the team of Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis, and it has all the same ingredients as their other movies.
I like it was setting it straight
hand,
on that.
Used Cars and 1941, which they wrote for Spielberg. There's the same zaniness, the same big sight gags, and the same frenetic race to the finish climax.
Zany's the
but
best.
This time, it really works. I had a good time going back to the future.
You, he could have surprised me on that.
I'm Leonard Maltin, Entertainment Tonight.
Entertainment Tonight Want to See Survey. The answer is a definite yes. On the Want to See Index, in which anything over 100 means a good future, Back to the Future got a rating of 118. 74% of those surveyed said they'd like Spielberg films. And when asked about time travel films, another 48% said they looked forward to a movie with that theme. That combined with the high Spielberg name recognition factor,
they don't
means a
do
good
this
first
anymore.
Weekend, doing as well or better
Spielberg.
Than Spielberg's last offering, The Goonies.
I love how they used to have a lot of time to kill on Entertainment Tonight.
They still have a lot of time to kill.
Yeah, they just filled it with a bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with movies. It has to do with gossip and whatever. But hey, Leonard liked
he
Back
was
to the
really
future.
Excited about that movie. Like, really excited.
And Christopher Lloyd is just dynamite.
Yeah, and Michael J. Fox is terrific.
He's terrific. Oh, Leonard. Wow. I love Leonard Maltin.
Incidentally, he's terrific.
Yes, thank you.
Incidentally. Like, it's just, it was possible he'd be terrific, and it's just a benefit that he was.
All right, Bill, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
What do you say?
Let's do it.
I'm going to give you to the count of three... to get your lousy, lying, low-down, four-flushing carcass out my door. One, two. Three.
Let's throw things together and put the wrapping and the decorations over here.
A pleasant beer.
Yo-yo.
Stocking stuffer.
Nice drop light.
Uncle George.
Uncle George.
This week, Caldor has Telemania's Honey Bear telephone for $49.99. RCA's cable-ready stereo VCR, just $349. And Golden Book children's videos for only $9.46 each.
What's my present?
Happy Holidays from Caldor.
Whether you think me
are kooky about Tanuki, or lose your socks over Fox. Burlington Coat Factory has the quality fur you hope to find at a price you never expected. But then, Burlington Coat Factory sells more coats to more women than any other place in the country. So it's only natural they can sell any coat, including any fur coat, for far less than you ever imagined. To save on a really fine fur, come to Burlington Coat Factory. It's the next best thing to getting your fur wholesale.
Today, for your tough headache pain, there's a superior level of pain-relieving strength. Nuprin strength. Beyond regular strength aspirin, beyond extra strength Tylenol, now there's Nuprin strength. This new medical study proves 2 little Nuprin give more pain relief than extra strength Tylenol. So Nuprin stops headaches better. And remember, Nuprin is gentler to your stomach than aspirin. For strength beyond extra strength Tylenol, Nuprin strength.
Well, Dad, I like it.
Your daddy loves Old Spice.
Why?
It's what makes daddy smell so special.
I love the smell of my daddy.
You put the ribbon on.
This Christmas, people all over America are giving the men in their lives the classic scent of Old Spice. The clean, fresh, masculine scent so many women love.
I love the smell of daddy.
And so does mommy.
For a Christmas gift he'll really love, give him the classic scent of Old Spice.
Those were for Santa.
He's okay.
He's gonna be here soon. He's gonna leave.
Santa's a good guy.
He's gonna leave. He's gonna leave. He's gonna leave.
Okay, let's fix it.
We're gonna have these in no time, my man. That's one way we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just put a little sprinkle on it.
Nice one.
Okay.
Dad, leave those for Santa.
Okay.
Betty Crocker sugar cookies. In less than 20 minutes, you can bake life sweeter.
Are you tired of bloody high prices ruffling your holiday spirit? Hungry for an end to humbug deals? Then take a break from high-priced shopping at Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's a Kentucky Fried Christmas now through December 23rd. Only $5.59 for a 9-piece box and $9.29 for a 15-piece bucket. At these sale prices, you can even afford some Kentucky Fried Giving and still have some fun left just for yourself.
Come with me to a place.
You'll be glad that you did.
Get free.
It's so much more a wonder store with Toys R Us Kids.
Guess what we want, Jeffrey?
You want Cabbage Patch Kids and everything Cabbage Patch is at Toys R Us. We've got the most Cabbage Patch Kids. Cabbage Patch Kids World Travelers. Collect them all.
Wow.
The Show Pony and Kid. The whole world of Coleco's Cabbage Patch Kids at out of this world prices.
It's the world's biggest toy, so let's go.
This year, I'm not putting Duracell batteries under the trees.
Oh, no!
But they play more tape.
Give you more flashes.
My mind's made up.
Oh, but the toys.
Duracell keeps them going up to 6 times longer than regular carbon batteries.
They have to go under the tree.
Nope. This year, I'm putting Duracell in the stocking. Duracell, a great stocking stuffer.
There's more for your Christmas at Sears.
Save $20 on this Craftsman timing light. Now just $29.99. This special purchase 1.5-ton floor jack is only $29.99. This exercise bike with speedometer, just $99.99. And this cassette car stereo with coaxial speakers is $99.99. So wrap up a beautiful Christmas.
Here's more for your life at Sears.
It's a world of celebration, of stockings hung in expectation, of winking lights and wintry wonderland. M&M's go with the season, moms and Santas know the reason. M&M's melt in your mouth, not in your hand.
All the world loves M&M's,
they're a world of pure milk chocolate joy.
All
all the world loves M&M's. There need to be fun to share, a part of Christmas everywhere. They go hand in hand with fun for everyone. All the world loves M&M's. They're a world of pure milk chocolate joy. All the world loves M&M's. They go hand in hand with fun for everyone.
M&M's chocolate candies. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
It's the most popular Saturday morning show in America. As the Smurfs continue to face, then it's the Gary Coleman Show. For systems from Atari, the video game that lets you help E.T. get home just in time for Christmas. Happy holidays from Atari.
Tastes all the ways, butter helps your holidays. That time of year is here.
Holiday baking deserves real butter. Make a cinnamon roll tree, sugar cookies, marzipan, and more. Bake ahead. Real butter's baked-in flavor improves with age.
Tastes all the way. Butter helps you say happy holidays throughout the year.
This kid just got a video game for Christmas. He can look forward to years of fun trying to reach 18 million. This kid just got a Commodore VIC-20 home computer. He can look forward to learning basic computer language, doing his own programs, playing some games along the way, and maybe even inventing his own games. Oh, a final argument for the VIC-20. Someday, both kids will be looking for a job.
Indy, over here.
Indiana Jones, at your service, Toad. Ah!
Indiana Jones and other action figures new from Raiders of the Lost Ark collection, each sold separately.
Watch him, Cairo, swordsman.
Yeah, watch my swing.
Nice.
All downhill from here, swordsman. You'll be sorry, Jones. Trick you again, Toad.
Indiana Jones, Toad, and Cairo swordsman action figures, each sold separately from Raiders of the Lost Ark collection, new from Kenner.
Hey, Cookie, what's that?
New Hot Wheels Inside Track Race Set. With 7 feet of pull-out track, a play tune-up garage, and two hot ones you can race outside or inside.
Hot Wheels, inside track.
I'm going to win.
No way. It's the fly. Hey, Race Shop.
The track inside the case. You can take most every place.
Hot Wheels Inside Track Race Set comes with 7 feet of track and two Hot Ones cars, not for use with some Hot Wheels vehicles. New from Mattel.
You girls ready?
No, come in, Dad. Barbie's taking a bubble bath.
This is the Barbie bubble bath. You have to put it together. Magic Girl Barbie doll sold separately.
Ooh, some mini bubbles. Time to rinse off now, Barbie. Wow, the shower really works. Doesn't Barbie look pretty, Dad?
Maybe I should try a Barbie bubble bath.
Barbie bubble bath comes with everything shown. Magic Girl Barbie doll sold separately. From Mattel.
So you created Atlantis for a magic.
I was at Atlantis.
The skies above the underwater city filled with Gorgon attack vessels. Three sentry posts fought desperately, but they were no match for the Gorgon death rays.
But you're here. I thought the Gorgons destroyed everybody at Atlantis.
We did!
Atlantis by Imagic is for Atari and in television systems.
With Pillsbury sugar cookies, you can help kids create their own Christmas treats.
I made a little angel. Actually, my mommy helped.
It was easy.
This Santa has a problem.
My Santa's cheeks got chubby in the oven.
You know how I made it? Frosting and gun
raindrops.
The wind broke off and I ate it.
Everyone loves Pillsbury cookies, fresh and hot. Ho-ho!
Eating's the best, no problem.
The Great Basketball Playoff, starring Ronald McDonald.
And Chicken McNuggets!
And Ronald makes the first basket. Now the McNuggets make a basket. The score's all tied up and the crowd's going wild. Ronald moves in for a dunk.
Barbecue sauce, McDonald's barbecue sauce.
And the McNuggets go for a dunk.
And you didn't even dribble.
It's a good time for the Great Big Old McDonald's.
Hi there, it's me, Snuggle Fabric Softener. Clothes feel so soft, smell, cuddle up fresh when you use me.
Snuggle Fabric Softener, snuggly softness that's really less expensive.
Ho, 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 I've got a present for you. See, a Snuggle ornament for the tree. It's free when you buy Snuggle Fabric Softener.
Look for your free ornament at the Snuggle display in your store.
Can I just give a shout out to Bill Duke for doing every show?
I hate meatloaf.
Oh. Aw, Randy hates meatloaf, Bill.
That's too bad, because meatloaf can be delicious.
Yeah, I like meatloaf, but I bet
I
you
like
they,
any meat in a they loaf. Had a really,
they had a lot of meatloaf.
You know, during the break, I got your Christmas gift.
Oh, really?
It just showed up right outside the door. The ET game for 2600. I love it. Thank you so much.
Straight from the landfill, Bill. I hope you enjoy it.
It is.
The ET landfill.
The fact that I have this game.
It's
shocking to me. I mean, I still have it. I've been cleaning up my gaming stuff today, and coincidentally, I had this the moment I saw it. I was like, oh, I got to take that out and show it to Jason.
Hilarious.
Yes, it is, Adam. All right, Bill. Cake Boss. I want to talk about Cake Boss because this is a special Christmas episode.
He accosted me in the Kroger yesterday.
Oh, no.
He disappeared for a while. He was there right up front the moment you walk in, and then he disappeared for a while, and then yesterday I walk in, and then he's just this gigantic cutout of Buddy going, you want a piece of this?
You want a piece of this? Emma pointed him out to me. We were at Albertson's Grocery.
Oh, really? Did they have a stand-up of him?
No, but they do have Cake Boss cakes in the little
and they're all
thing.
The same. They're all the two same cakes.
Yeah, and Emma was like, hey. And I was like,
I'm not going to pay $30 for a fondant cake.
Yeah, we don't have an occasion to have a cake right now, especially one that costs $30.
Yeah, I mean, come on, $30 for that cake?
That's got to be some cake, Bill.
That's got to be amazing cake.
Well, I have a clip here of Cake Boss where Buddy has to make a foot cake. And this lady runs a spa, a foot spa, where she does, what do they call those, when you have your feet done? A pedicure. Pedicure.
Mani-pedi?
Yes. And she wants more men to have pedicures, and she's trying to attract men to come and get their feet done, because she says, you know, men do have horrible feet, because they don't take care of them like women do, right?
And it's because their feet.
Yeah, their feet. And, you know what's really gross is
feet.
They do a contest to see who has the worst feet in the bakery.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't watch that then.
The guy, you know that guy who has
it's
like...
It's Morrow, isn't it? Because
no.
He looks like the Goblin King.
The guy who has those bones in his ears, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, is that the guy with the Salvador Dali mustache?
No.
Or does he not have that anymore?
That was Ralph. He used to.
Okay.
He doesn't anymore.
All right.
But there was a guy who is also a sculptor who has bones for
did
earrings.
Did he get these guys from Ace of Cakes?
I don't know, but that guy, he takes off his shoes and they all go, oh! Like, he never cuts his toenails. He has hairy feet.
So he's hobbit feet.
Yeah, even Buddy's like, they look like hobbit feet. And so he wins a contest and they give him a pedicure. But just listen to this bit here where they're...
And I'm sure that Vietnamese woman that did it really appreciated that feat.
we learned something about Buddy here, Bill, that makes him seem kind of sad. And, like, you know how his mom, it's obvious that his mom babied him, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it looks like his wife just had to take over. Let's check this out. Oh, Buddy.
I actually own a spa in Hoboken.
Love spas.
And I'm trying to bring awareness to men to let them know it's okay to get your feet done. Their feet are too ugly.
It's a girly thing.
Yeah, and their feet are ugly. Some men are very, like, anti-feet. So what I want to do is just have this big, very ugly foot contest.
You want to find the person with the best feet or the ugliest feet?
No, the ugliest feet to let them know they can be beautiful once you get done. Okay. You want to have a cake with one foot where it's ugly. And then it'll be a smaller foot, and then it transition to a bigger foot where it's more beautiful.
So I don't know about making it bigger and smaller. I'll probably make the same size, make one a little ugly, one real pretty, to say, look, it's kind of like the before and after. I think that'll kind of work better.
Ugly? I like that.
Ugly. He always adds an extra
bring some
syllable.
Ugly feet to the challenge.
If they can beat my man, bring them.
Okay, before and after foot.
Before
I got
and
it.
After.
Hey, Ralph, this spa in Hoboken is having a contest. Ugliest foot. They want a foot that's ugly and a foot that's nice, like a before
ugly.
And after.
Ugly, yeah.
But he one does. Has got to be like hammer toe, corns on it, hair.
Stop.
I
hammer
can't
toe.
Believe someone's getting that. They're putting that on a cake. That's gross.
Cake. We got to see who's got the ugliest feet in this place.
Yeah.
I know that we got a bunch of people in there. Danny, Ralph. I mean, there's got to be a couple guys that got bad feet in there. If you tell my sculptors to make, like, something disgusting, they make it, like, to a T. They're like horror effect specialists.
So when they eat this, we'll be really putting their foot in their mouth.
Oh, yes.
No.
I'm putting my best foot forward. You're just a heel. You know that, right?
Just I heard there's a pedicure this week. You get a pedicure?
Nah, I would like to.
You guys get pedicures?
Never. Does Buddy get pedicures?
He does every month. You know by who? Yours truly.
You must really love that man.
I do. I cut his toenails every month. Who cuts your toenails?
I do. I'm a grown-ass man.
Danny gets pedicures, Lee. You get pedicures.
Yeah, you get them once a month.
That's once a month.
I heard from your beautiful wife.
I don't get my wife cuts my toenails.
My mom cut my toenails up until I got married. And then my wife took over my mom's
what
job.
The hell is wrong with him?
What am I going to say?
I could have the ugliest feet in the world. Ain't no one touching my feet. We've been down this road.
You got like foot fetishes.
I don't like my feet touched.
You know, Joey's a little weird about his feet. Yeah, he doesn't like anybody touching his feet.
What, does he have a foot fetish?
He just don't like people touching his feet. That's his problem.
Do they know what a foot fetish means, Bill?
I don't think so. Maybe they think that, like, a foot fetish is pet feet. Like, oh, I love feet.
They
I don't even want to get into what that is because it's feet itself are gross, but then putting feet into the sexual realm just done.
Not even that. That's not what they're doing. Joey said he doesn't like anyone to touch his feet. And they said, does he have a foot fetish? I thought a foot fetish is when you are
it is.
Like,
it's
like
whenever
feet.
Yeah, it's whenever you sexualize feet.
So if you don't want anyone touching your feet, you don't have a foot fetish.
You have like a foot phobia or something, or a phobia of other people touching your feet.
Or you're just really ticklish.
Or you just don't want people touching your freaking feet.
All I know is the cake was disgusting because it had a big gross foot on it with like bad toenails and stuff.
I don't like feet, okay? I have a really bad problem with feet. Like, I just... Eh. Feet.
That's those hobbit feet in 48 frames per second, Bill.
I actually vomited.
It's way too much.
The person in front of me had a vomit fetish, thankfully.
I'm going to put my foot in your ass!
All right, Bill, I want to talk about kitchen nightmares, because the most recent kitchen nightmares, it was one of those where Gordon goes back to the other restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it's a perfect story, right? They're like, oh, wow, our business is up 50%, or we're doing great this season. We're doing everything you wanted, Gordon. He's like, that's fantastic. And he goes away. Mainly,
it's the most amazing job.
Wow, 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 wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Amazing outcome. Now, what's interesting, usually it's all recaps of old episodes, and then Gordon just talks about when he went back for 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I was watching it kind of like barely staying awake until finally at the last restaurant, something interesting happened. He goes and he talks to the guy, and it's all positive. Things he's changed. Everything is, like, fantastic. But then it turns out the guy is full of shit. He's lying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's funny. When he goes to talk to the other people, I believe one of them is the brother, he tells him what's really going on. It's funny. Listen how positive he is when he's talking to Gordon, and then when his brother comes in and tells him what's really going on. It's hilarious.
First thing first. Where's the television?
That's my old television that I watch all the games on.
Seriously?
I promise you, the day you left, there was no television here.
No television.
In the entire restaurant, my word.
He used to just sit there and watch TV.
I've been doing well. As soon as you left, the buzz around the neighborhood and the food was fantastic.
Right.
The new dishes flew off the menu.
Good.
I wake up energized. I'm going to the restaurant supply houses, buying all the fresh ingredients, looking up new recipes, trying new things with me and my cooks. There's a better, stronger relationship there.
That's fantastic.
I started a delivery campaign.
You started the campaign?
Yes, sir. I did a
pretty
menu,
sure
mailed them out to the surrounding towns,
yeah.
And it's been very beneficial.
You have been busy. So this is a complete revolution. You are so much more hands-on now than you ever were before, right?
Oh, huge. Big difference. Night and day. I feel like it's finally my business, and I'm not running my mother's business.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. And where's the business sitting now?
It's probably up 40% since last time.
40%? You are working hard.
Yes, sir.
What's the
my word.
This is a new Michael.
Energized, Michael.
Unbelievable. I mean, you are seriously energized.
Yeah.
What a bullshit artist.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Pomeroy looks amazing. She looks fabulous.
God bless her.
Michael told me he's here first thing in the morning, he's here last thing at night. Is he really working that hard?
He still shows up at his usual time, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Back to the beginning. Why is he lying to me?
Maybe he's scared.
Unreal.
Hello, hi,
darling.
How are you?
I wasn't good until I just heard that. Take a seat, please. I had a chat with Michael around the corner. He told me he's working so hard. What time is he coming in?
Comes in at 6:30. That's a plus for him.
Wow.
So the guy shows up at 6:30 p.m.
I mean, crazy, you can't run a business and coming in at 6:30. You have to set that example to the staff. Is he helping with payroll?
No, he doesn't do any of it.
Infantry?
No, nothing.
Oh. So he's not stepping up?
We're here at 9 o'clock today. We swept the floor. We mopped the floors. We set it up.
Bloody hell.
And
it's so annoying.
He was physically the last one in here.
Honestly.
And he found TVs across the street.
He found TVs across the street? What do you mean?
The bar. In the bar.
Oh, so he goes across to the sports bar to watch TV.
He found a way to watch TV.
Oh, yes. He's still Michael.
Oh. Well, at least he's not in the restaurant.
Honestly?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
You can paint stripes on a horse, but that doesn't make it a zebra. Like, just because you gave us a little facelift.
That guy works on that line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all love Michael. But
he's an
unless
asshole.
He steps up, he could destroy it.
I'm so disappointed. He did not stay the course.
He toured the day you left.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm pissed off.
I love that the guy was just full of shit. Everything was positive. And then, of course, he goes and talks to the guy, and he's like, I'll try to do better. I will.
Well, so, at least the people still have a job.
Yeah, but that was hilarious.
Nice.
Now, Bill, did you get to see Top Chef?
I did.
There's a lot more cattiness happening now, recently.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. It's like you're all in the same boat. You're all, you know, trying to do your best, yet there's just so much, like, nitpick, particularly between that one asshole-ish guy. I can't remember his name. The one with the glasses.
John. Right, and I'm wondering how much of what he says is just kind of to just push people's buttons.
Yeah,
like,
get under their skin.
It looked like that's what he was doing with Stefan.
Yeah.
And then Stefan does it too. He's really good at pushing people's buttons.
But he's much better at it than that guy is.
Yeah, I think that John doesn't... Well, honestly, I think that John guy does it, but he doesn't care and doesn't take it personally. I think Stefan does it, but he does take it personally because it seemed like he was getting worked up, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's that annoying chick, Josie, at the end. Did you see that at the very end? What was that all about?
I can't even explain it. That, I don't know.
It was very interesting. Basically,
it seems like this season in particular is particularly catty. Like, there's, I don't know, maybe it's just big personalities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it just seems, the people seem kind of nasty.
Exactly. So, well, it seems like there's certain people, like one, that girl Kristen, the Asian girl, she's all of a sudden kicking everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Like, winning everything, and that's like Stefan's, you know, he's hanging all over and laying his head on her and stuff.
Even some of the, like, looks he gives her, like, it's he almost looks, like, creepy. Well, not almost. He is creepy.
Well, there's a scene from next week where that Josie chick says to Stefan, she goes, he said something about her being honest, and she goes, you should be honest. You need to come out of the closet. And everyone goes, ooh, and I was like, what?
Stefan wanted who was that one Jamie the lesbian that he was obsessed with trying to turn her.
I just thought that, like, was funny. Can't wait to see that.
That's how immature some people are. It's like, that's such a high school insult.
Let's go ahead and check this out. It's a really long clip of Top Chef with people being catty. Awesome.
Tomorrow you'll be at Remlinger Farms Berry Festival. And cooking with berries is your next elimination challenge.
Berries are so sweet and tangy. I'm very excited to cook with these little bundles of joy.
Oh, and you'll be cooking in head-to-head battles.
Oh, my God.
You each get
Stefan,
a sword and a shield.
John. Get him up his ass. John, I can beat him because he's the oldest and the second oldest. So I think it's a kind of fair match.
Oh, hold on. I was out before earlier.
Today I have gooseberries, and I'm going with tuna sashimi with gooseberry vinaigrette.
I'll take the rest of that.
All right.
Sheldon is already buying all the fresh tuna, so I said, why not go buy fresh frozen Saco Block tuna? It's the highest quality of tuna in a grocery store.
It's Top Chef. Who uses frozen fish? I'm definitely beating Stefan.
Just cooking dinner.
John, can you make me some dinner, John? Keep the house like, come on. What do you want? I don't know.
Frozen fish.
Really, John?
Frozen tuna.
It's Saco Block, motherfucker.
Who more fun to go up against than Stefan? I just love to get up inside his head.
You started. I have nothing to say. You know I love you. We just cook next to each other. One's going to be on the top. One's going to be on the bottom.
You know, he's a little bratish, and he's the ultimate game player.
If you don't get rid of him tomorrow, I will shank him down. The day after. I'll shank him in the kidneys.
Can you use the blender?
I'm using it.
Who has a blender left? How many blenders were in this house?
I don't know, man. I need that one right there, though.
Yeah, but you're not using it.
I'm using it right now. What?
No, you're not.
Dude, I'm using it right now. Can you
what are you doing? Nothing.
Fart.
Oh, off.
Oh, you off.
He's not lending it. He is not even using it. Do I hear a blending? No. He's just maybe a little bit selfish. You can't prepare for guys like that. A jackass is a jackass.
Like, what am I, the used equipment guy over here?
I'm making this white gazpacho. It's simple. It's chorizo. It's bread. It's almonds.
Did you see
where
he turned the
water
blender on
and
shit went everywhere?
It's like the palate cleanser. But it turns out it's not so simple. The difficulty I'm having with my blender and everyone crying like little children, it's just really uncomfortable. I can't measure anything. My proportions are all out of whack.
That hurt.
You.
Hey, Stefan.
How are you?
Hey, good. What are you doing besides making a mess?
There's about six people here.
Disaster.
I'm doing a crudo.
You're doing a crudo of what? Berries?
Crudo of tuna.
And what's your berry?
Gooseberry.
Gooseberry, okay. Who are you going up against?
John.
Okay. You think you can beat him?
Listen, he's 53 years old.
We'll say
thank you. I appreciate it. Bye.
Hey, John. What you got going on here?
I have a little white gazpacho.
Okay.
Some warm chorizo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made a little gooseberry jelly.
Stefan told me he was going to beat your ass. He said you don't have a chance. That's what he told me.
Was that a backstabbing moment?
I think you were stabbing him. I think so. All right. So why are you going to beat this guy over here?
I don't know who's going to win, but I just feel confident that I made something very organic, and I noticed that Stefan was using frozen tuna. Which
Ow.
Said, no.
And here comes opens that bus and he
it
just
is
got
funny how Stephen appears in the background.
And I didn't want to get it. There was nothing else.
What is nothing else?
And it's Saku Block from Japan, so it's really good product.
Saku Block. CO2 radiation. It's okay. Sustainable.
Thanks, John.
Sustainable.
Just run into my knife, mother.
Really, John? Is that how you're going to save yourself? Throwing other people under the bus over frozen Saku Block tuna.
You called me a 53-year-old man.
I'll let you guys fight it out later.
Thanks, Chef.
I'm not throwing him under the bus. I'm making a political statement today. It wasn't the fact that it was frozen. It's the fact that it's not sustainable.
Why not, bitch?
Bullshit.
I always say, like, a kitchen is a band, you know? And, you know, your drum is you, right?
Yeah. Josie's sometimes annoying. She's, you know, Chef Josie.
She's one of the super
you can hear her coming from a couple of blocks away. And she's got that laugh.
What's that?
It hurts my soul when Josie laughs. It's me dies every time.
You started today.
I did not.
The first thing you said when Tom walked in, because you were scared, you said, by the way, Stephanie's using frozen tuna. So one, motherfucker.
It's going to be the boiling room now.
Okay, let me ask a question.
That's not
have you ever used Taco Block tuna ever in your life?
Yeah.
Have you ever used Taco Block tuna? Yes. Have you?
Yes.
Have you? Have you?
Yep.
Have you? So have I. So suck my blow me, bitch. See this? Suck it hard.
Well, maybe that's what she means by coming out.
That's right.
He said that the Chef Josie show is not going to win this competition. What I mean?
It's all talk. What did they do to you?
Tom said it was. He had some great.
No, but really, we're having a conversation over here. You guys can have your own conversation. So go stand next to him then.
Really?
All right, don't be nasty to me. All right, Stefan.
Shut it. I don't really give a honestly.
I don't either.
I just skated by one more time.
You don't have.
Shut the.
Okay? You quit it. What are you going to be? Acting like a 3-year-old? You want to have the last word? You think that's what's going to
move on
here?
Move on.
You move on.
Let's get the f*** out of here. It's been a long night.
Wow, I can't wait to see some more cattiness next week, Bill.
Yeah, move on.
Isn't it funny how Tom shows up and he's like... pretty much gets them riled up and he's like,
yeah,
okay, see you guys later.
Flames. he goes in there with a bellows and just starts pissing them off.
They're just like, oh.
He's good at that. I was starting to like wonder. It seemed like Tom Colicchio just kind of like has been in the background this entire season. And now it's like he's front and center pissing people off.
That's hilarious, yeah. I read that Big D article that I talked about last time, the Dallas Chef John. Yeah. And basically, he's this talented guy who's worked with a lot of people who I don't know if you saw last week when Rick Moonen shows up as his judge and he's like...
Yeah, and he actually worked... He learned everything about fish from Rick Moonen.
Yeah, his dish, he goes, I learned this from Rick Moonen and, you know, he's going to make that. And then all of a sudden, Rick Moonen shows up and he's like, oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, because he's like making... That was funny. He made like this awesome fish chowder. I wanted it so bad.
Right.
Like just looking at it, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Didn't he make it sound like that he got that from Rick Moonen? He just
yeah, that
used
it was
his...
Rick Moonen's recipe.
Yeah. But now, Rick Moonen said...
Maybe I'm just making this up in my head, but I thought Rick Moonen said something like, you know, this tastes familiar.
But he said
it might actually have been his.
The one thing that he was complimentary about is he said everything was executed perfectly. So he could have been like, yeah, maybe my recipe, but you made it the way it's supposed to be made. So that's good. Yeah. You know what? One thing that we haven't talked about because we haven't done a show since the last Walking Dead episode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and I thought we should talk about that. There's some silly article now that Glenn Mazzara, after he's done with this season,
he's out.
He's leaving. Yeah.
AMC. I just read. You know, Kurt Sutter takes it upon himself to be the television victim. Like he loves. Bad-mouthing AMC. I mean, he's done it before. Like, whenever the thing went down with Matthew Weiner and Mad Men, and then whenever it went down
is
with
it
Frank
really
Darabont.
Weiner or Weiner?
Weiner.
All I know is if my last name was Weiner, I would say, it's Weiner. You're pronouncing it wrong. It's never... Yeah. It's Frankfurter.
There was a guy...
I didn't mean to
get laugh even thinking about it. There's a guy that worked on the West Wing named Tommy Schlamme, and every time I heard his name, I couldn't help but laugh. Like, it's another one of those names that you know he was just tortured.
They're like, hey, school. Tommy Salami or something
Tommy
like that.
Tommy Salami. But yeah, now Kurt Sutter has come out and he's bitching about AMC being how they're driving their network into the ground, that they don't care about the writers, they don't care about the showrunners, all they care about is the bottom line, and they're willing to sacrifice talent in order to make a profit.
One thing I know about Glenn Mazzara is the way he ran the show, I thought this season so far has been great. And he uses personal elements from his own life in the storyline, like the deaths and stuff like that, or like his own parents and personal stories, and tries to tie them into the scripts and stuff. I'm wondering if, like, after doing a season like this, which we know is really hard work, and it's in the spotlight, the show gets huge ratings, if it's just tiring and exhausting, and by the time the season's over...
No, I'm reading the LA Times article about it right now, and it looks like Kurt Sutter might have a point.
They just wanted somebody else running it?
It's creative differences. Both parties acknowledge that there is a difference of opinion about where the show should go moving forward and conclude that it is best to part ways.
I do
this decision
that.
Is amicable, and Glenn will remain on for post-production of season 3B as showrunner and executive producer. So I guess they're calling the second half of the season 3B. But what the... AMC, will you calm the F down already?
Yeah, just...
I mean, they did this. They did this to Frank Darabont. Now they're doing it to Glenn Mazzara. I honestly think, now Kurt Sutter has a point. They're not going to be satisfied until they kill this show, until nobody's watching it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I wonder is, I wonder that myself. Where does the story go? Eventually, what ideas do you have? And... I'll just wait and see, but I can't
wait
to see the second half.
They asked Robert Kirkman what he thinks, and he says, I am in full support of both AMC and Glenn Mazzara and the decision they have come to, and believe the parties came to this decision in the best interest of the future of the show. I believe the future is bright for The Walking Dead. Thank you for the fans and for your continued support. What a company, man.
Yeah. But also, I mean, it's possible that everything is fine, and Glenn Mazzara was just like, you know what, I don't want to really do this, and I'm gone.
I don't know. The press release sounds kind of catty for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. There's something afoot at the Circle K.
Well, at the same time, I think that maybe it is nothing. Like, he's ready to go because, he talked about where they want to go, and he's like, you know what, that's not really me. I don't really want to do that. And maybe he left. But
maybe he left because they wanted to continue the governor storyline in a way that is similar to the comics.
Yeah, when I see headlines, the first one I saw was Shakedown, like gigantic. Oh. And I was like, give me a break. You want to turn it into a story and make it...
Did it have the Bob Seger song with it?
Shake down, you busted. Yeah, they want to make it more and more dramatic for their story. And it might not even be that way. But I want to talk about the season finale with... I want to talk about that fight between Michonne and the governor in his room.
Yes.
Holy
F. Well, I'm so happy that that's how that went down, as opposed to the comic book where she tortures him and... does all the stupid shit. Doesn't she cut off his arms or something?
Well, in the comic book, he really victimizes her. And in this...
That's true.
It's more like we know that he sent Merle to kill her and he failed. Merle came back and said, oh, yeah, she's dead. And I had to get away. So when she shows up again, I have a feeling she wants to save Andrea in a way. Like, kill this guy, she'll come back or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because he's insane. I mean, there's this... The way that, what's his name, Morrissey?
David Morrissey?
He's playing it so well, and that there's this hidden tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's obviously out of his effing mind. I mean, all you got to do with that is the zombie daughter and the heads and all that. And what was his excuse for the heads?
He wanted to get adjusted,
stares at the horror.
So he never lets his guard down. And
yeah. I mean, come on, that's the cheapest excuse I ever heard for being a psycho.
I did love that scene where Michonne opens the little gate thing and the girl comes out and she goes, come here, it's okay.
She's so dead set against him that she thinks he's holding a little girl hostage.
Yeah, when she takes off the thing and she's like, whoa, and she's ready to just chop her head off right then. He's like, no, my little girl. And she's like, what? You can see right there. She's like, this dude's more effed up than I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I'll help him through this. Let me stick this blade through the back of her skull.
What? That's what I love. He's got his gun on her, and he goes, no, don't hurt her. And he puts his gun down, and he takes his gun belt off, and he sets it, and he goes, just don't hurt my girl. And she goes, shing, and just right through her head, you know?
Michonne's a bitch.
Yeah. That was pretty hard. She's like, this is tough love, sucker.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy needed... Because it's obvious that he is working with that scientist guy because he's trying to get the scientist to, like, there's got to be a way we can save my daughter. But no one tell... You know, the guy doesn't have the nerve. Or maybe he thinks he's up to the challenge. Like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
That guy, yeah. That whole thing with the elderly gentleman that was passing away.
Yeah.
You know, that was really disturbing.
If Andrea wasn't there, the guy would be dead right now.
Yeah, he would.
He's
like, take off the restraints.
He's like, hey, he remembers me, see? And it's just like, no, you jackass.
No, he's hungry.
What did you think about that scene where Rick sees Shane for a second? Remember the guys walking towards him? Are we seeing
I thought it was effective in that it kind of showed that Rick is not done with being mentally disturbed.
He's not done healing.
Yeah, he's still, you know, he still has an incredible amount of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, maybe is it the guilt manifesting that he couldn't protect Lori, that he...
I think he's probably going over his head all the little things he did and how if he would have done this, if he would have killed that one dude, his wife would still be alive. And
it's handled so much better than in the comics. I mean,
oh yeah, totally.
I mean, that scene alone encapsulates the mental degradation that he's going through.
Well, I liked how they got in and out of their compound pretty efficiently, you know?
Yeah.
They did it. They pretty much struck and they used flashbangs and stuff and disoriented the people where they're like, "What is going on?" You know, and it was just that little part where Daryl's like, "I'll hold him off," and I was like, "Oh, he's totally
yeah." We knew him. We knew what was going to happen. Daryl was not going to give up on his brother.
When he says, "You guys go ahead," I had the feeling he was going to stay behind on purpose and look for his brother.
Yeah, Daryl. As much as Daryl is dependent upon by the group, he's still a cowboy.
Right. And that whole scene also with Michonne when she sticks him in the eye with a piece of glass, that was hardcore.
Oh my god. That it was shocking to me. It just took me by surprise. And then the like gushy sound that they used, like the crunch and the gush, I was just like, No.
And she picks up her sword and she's about to friggin' chop his head off when Andrea comes in there like, what are you doing?
Yeah, the amount of violence, I know that the censors don't have a problem with the zombie violence because it's a dead creature thing. It's not like it's blacker blood. It's mm-hmm. all the little stupid technicalities. But when it's like human on human violence and it's that visceral,
yeah,
that was shock. I was watching and went, holy shit.
Well, you know,
it shocked me
in that earlier episode where the guys are hunting Michonne and she pops out and just chops the dude's head off.
Yeah,
that shocked me too. I mean, I know that was all like CGI, but I didn't expect her to outright do that.
Yeah, she is way far gone, like that she's willing to just outright murder people.
Right.
They were after
her, and I was wondering if, you know, they were after her. I'm wondering if she knew, okay, they're coming to kill me or they're going to capture me or something. But she was willing to just take on the offensive and just attack them.
It's survival of the fittest at this point. I guess that's what I mean by that.
Yeah, she was smart to actually.
Yeah, she hunts people. I think that's what disturbs me the most about the way they're handling the character. Is the way, like, in the comic book, she was more just, like, a loner and a hunter of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And in this, she's, like, a hunter of the Walking Dead and people.
And
like,
I know
she's hardcore.
Remember in the comic, she talks to herself a lot. Like, she has multiple personalities.
Yeah. And yeah.
They haven't done that here.
Thank God.
Whenever I bring up, they shouldn't do that, they do it on the show, so I'm not going to say anything.
If she starts talking to herself at the beginning of the second
Don't
part of the season,
because she will.
Yeah, it's the totally phone's gonna ring again.
But I love, like, the governor. Basically, he changed. He transformed in this final.
He turns into the psycho governor from the comic book, honestly.
And he's gonna wear an eye patch, isn't he?
Yep, just so, like in the comic book.
Let's check out the scene. I like how he riles up his town folk after the Rick and the gang.
This is scaring me, honestly. I'm very scared that they're going, you know, way too far with the governor stuff.
Well, one thing I notice upon watching the scene again, you see little kids saying, kill him! You know, like, you see everybody saying, kill him, and you even see little kids saying it. Check the scene out, how he riles them up.
They're not going to kill Daryl.
No.
It hasn't been an eye like this since the walls were completed. And I thought we were past it. Past the days when we all sat huddled, scared in front of the TV during the early days of the outbreak. The fear we all felt then, we felt it again tonight. I failed you. I promise to keep you safe. Hell, look at me. You know, I should tell you that we'll be okay.
Dramatic pauses.
That we're safe. And tomorrow we'll bury our dead and endure, but I won't. Because I can't. Because I'm afraid.
No, not you, Governor.
I'm afraid of terrorists who want what we have.
They need our freedoms.
Worse. Because one of those terrorists is one of our own.
I love Merle's face here. Like, what?
Yeah, he knows. Like, shit, I'm
Merle. Man, I counted on. Man, I
trust us.
He led him here.
This is all because of the Michonne thing, isn't it?
He let him in.
Yep.
Just that it one is. Little lie. Came back to bite him in the ass.
It was you.
I honestly think Michonne scares the shit out of him.
Train us all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He saw something in her eyes where he's like, damn, I'm going to stay away from you.
This is one of the terrorists. Huh? Merle's own brother.
He's got a brother.
I like that they didn't say anything to each other. They just looked at each other. He didn't go like, "Hey, little brother, fine mess we're in this time."
What
or
should
something.
We do with them, huh?
Kill them.
What?
Let them talk it out. I'm sure we can reason with them.
You wanted your brother.
Let's all have a sit
Let's
down.
Let's have a cup of coffee and talk about our feelings. Yeah.
There's that one person getting drowned out who's the voice of reason.
Kill him!
Let me put a pot of coffee on. Everyone just settle down.
But that was a good cliffhanger there. I was like, oh, that, damn.
Could it? Yeah, I mean, that's... They can't get, I said it before, they can't kill Daryl. Daryl is such an integral part of that group that he's not T-Dog, you know?
Yeah.
I know people were like, I love that Talking Dead episode after T-Dog died that they acted like T-Dog was like such an important character.
Didn't you?
I miss him so much.
I loved how they set up the Tyrone character. Or is it?
Yeah!
Or is it Tyrese? I can't remember.
It's the same name.
Tyrese.
I think it's Tyrone.
I think
is
it's
Tyrese.
Okay. Shit. What is it?
It's doesn't matter.
But anyway, I love that the whole episode starts with a whole other group, another group of people, remember? And he's taking, I think he has a little hatchet or is it a hammer? He's got like a little pickaxe or something that's his weapon
it's
of
like
choice.
It's like one of those rock chippers.
But I love how they find their way into this. There's this broken wall, and they go inside, and it turns out to be the back of the prison. I'm wondering, have Rick and them not had a chance to walk all the way around it or something?
Yeah, I think they just stick to their wing that they know is totally secure.
Yeah, they haven't totally swept the whole thing, I guess, and because it is it's apparently a huge place, and so there's this major part where. What would you say? A weakness in their structure.
Yes.
But I love the scene where Carl, he's very brave, and he goes and they hear a scream, and so he goes to check on it. You know, Herschel tries to stop, and he's like, you know my dad would go check on it, so I'm going to. And mm-hmm. he goes in there all by himself, and, you know, one walker shows up next to him, and he just turns and shoots him. He doesn't act scared at all. And
Carl is hardened.
Yeah, he goes in there and he's like, and he's like, come with me. Come on, follow me. And they're like, huh? Who's this kid?
Where did this kid come from? Go play with your G.I. Joes.
And then he shows him into the cell and he locks it. And he's like, you guys are going to stay here. You know, you guys are safe. Don't worry. And I just like the girl is like freaking out and her dad, I assume that's her dad, you know, Tyrese.
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe you meant the girl that got bit.
No, the girl who's like, unlock this now.
I assumed that the girl was Tyrese's, like, girlfriend or something.
Well, he's like, you know, this is his house, and he saved us, so I'm going to go ahead and trust this little punk or whatever. And he's she's like,
I'm going to trust this little man. Aren't you adorable with your hat and your gun?
Remember the lady got bit, and now she's passed out, and he goes, I'll take her out. And he goes, don't worry, I'll do it. And he aims a gun, and they're like, no, it's my mom.
Yeah, he's like, we'll take care of our own little man. Thanks.
So he's like, I have taken out moms before. I could do this.
After my mom told me to be a good boy, I killed her.
But I love, like, Rick basically said, you need to protect everyone. And so when he's gone, he really is doing it.
Yeah, he's a smart little dude. I'm glad that they're handling him this way instead of the way they are in the book. In the book, he just kind of... I think it took until more recently for him to kind of turn into this character.
Yeah. I think Robert Kirkman just takes things a little too far.
I'm like three trade paperbacks behind on the series.
I'm way back. I don't even know what's
going on. I just don't have any interest. I don't care to pay $14 to be annoyed. Because that's really what it is.
I used to wait for you to send them to me for my birthday or something.
Yeah.
So I'm screwed.
I'm past that at this point. Like, you know what? I'll spare you the annoyance.
I honestly, the last one, I was just like, ugh. And I just like put it away when I was done reading.
The last one I read was they showed up at some town with a bunch of
that's
people.
What
it was very similar to in the comic or in the TV show right now, that Woodbury.
Everything was too good to be true, and Rick used to be a cop, so he becomes like a cop there.
Yep, that's the last book I read.
And it ends before you know what's going to go bad, but you know something will.
Yeah.
But I'm loving the show. I'm really... And just briefly, I want to mention, I didn't have a clip of Fringe, but this last episode where... Did you watch the last episode with the black blotter where...
Dude, I'm getting so frustrated with Fringe right now. Like, I'm... This season started off, okay, they're in the future. I think we can deal with this. And then... These past, like, two or three episodes, I'm just like, will you stop spinning your wheels and just get to the effing point already? Right. I'm getting angry that they're wasting time.
I liked the Peter with the chip in his head thing, and he's becoming observed, but then he rips it out.
Yeah, I'm just like, what? It's like they don't know what they want to do. What do you want?
But, I mean, yes, I understand what you mean. They are spinning their wheels. But that scene in the most recent episode, have you seen the most recent, the Blackwater, where he's on
the acid? He's seeing the fairy and all that stuff. It was the Walter character piece. I almost saw it as kind of like Walter's send off. It was kind of sad.
I love the weird Monty Python thing all of a sudden.
Yes, that did entertain me. But
that was
hilarious. I'm still just very like, this is what you're doing whenever we only have so much time left. We have a finite amount of episodes.
Honestly, Bill, I just hope it wraps up nicely and we're happy with that. So we'll wait and see about that. But
how many episodes are left?
Like 4 or 3.
See, that's just not enough. That's not enough for them to be doing episodes like this. Yeah. Like, I'm just getting upset. I'm getting angry. Like, why are you doing this to a show I love so much?
Well, I mean, I don't outright think it's bad, but I know what you mean. They're spinning their wheels.
Yeah.
All right, Bill.
Am I wrong? Am I?
No. They are. They're spinning their wheels. It's just I love the character so much. It's like I don't want it to end.
That's why I'm angry. Like, I don't want to see them get a lackluster send-off, and I feel like this season has taken too long to get started. It started getting good, and then it's taking steps backwards.
I honestly thought Peter was going to keep being an observer until the final episode.
Yeah, same here.
And when, you know, I do like that she talked him down off the cliff or whatever, off the ledge. But at the same time, I was like, huh? Like, well, he pulled that out really easily and okay. So I'm really confused. So let's see where it goes. All right, Bill, you want to do some news? Do you have any news stories for our Christmas episode? All right. Some Christmassy stuff? Huh?
Not really, but it could be.
Meatloaf.
Why does he hate meatloaf? I don't know.
You're just a
heel. You know that, right?
Hey. All right, Bill, let's do some news.
How could they get any worse? We're at the threshold of hell!
The news with Mulberry Bill. Live from Mulberry.
With traffic.
Steven, the pop culture zealot, could not be here this evening.
With a big ribbon on his head.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
I had to do this first story just because it's so bizarre and it's so matter-of-fact. In Council Bluffs, Iowa, they report that 25-year-old Charles Duncan told the police that he stopped a car he was test driving in a parking lot Wednesday morning to switch seats with his sister so that she could have a go at the car. And a black car with Nebraska license plates pulled up and shot him twice.
What?
Yeah, one bullet missed, the other hit him in the right side of the chest. He told police he didn't know the men and no words were exchanged before the shooting. Police say the bullet struck a rib and lodged under his skin. He was treated and released from the hospital. How's that
medic
for luck?
Wow.
That the bullet hits a rib and just lodges under the skin. It just seems lucky. So strange. Like, there's got to be more to this. Yeah, a black car pulls up and shoots you?
A mysterious black vehicle.
Yeah, it just seems so weird. Like, it just, oh, okay.
You're going to call the police on me?
Here's you know, Texas, this whole thing with we're not going to get into the school massacre or anything about that, but now we have this discussion about gun control. And it just keeps getting more and more asinine. I'm not going to share what I feel because what I feel is going to piss people off, but it's just, Texas, we have this, state representative, Kyle Kacow, I believe. And he said that guns don't kill people. Ping pong kills people.
Come again?
Yeah, he said in a quote, "I've heard people being killed playing ping pong. Ping pongs are more dangerous than guns. Flat screen TVs are injuring more kids today than anything else. You are an asshole." Like, just somebody... These are the arguments that
he's saying
people,
video games cause it? Is that what he's saying?
Maybe it's the video games being played on the flat screen. Maybe the flat screen just... These are the excuses that these gun nuts are coming up with. And they are so retarded that anybody would even take these seriously. You have the NRA saying they're blaming it on video games now. Like Mortal Kombat shows how dated they are.
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah,
they don't
really
even have guns in Mortal Kombat.
No, but you can rip off your head and you know, breathe fire and burn someone alive or tear their heart out, or you know,
it's the just, same zaniness, the same big sight gags, and the same frenetic race to the finish climax.
Yeah, he's saying that some sports equipment even has unexpected hazards, like the brands of tennis rackets have been recalled because they could lead to exposure to lead. You could die from lead poisoning.
It's a lie.
So basically they're saying anything can kill you and guns aren't the problem.
Right.
I argue that.
There's multiple steps that are problems, but it's funny how... I just, you know, it's like you said, it's like a heavy discussion. Is it a place for our show? I don't know.
No, but it's not. But I just had to bring up how stupid these arguments are getting.
Yes, it is stupid.
Can they not just sit down and say, listen, we love our guns. Let's talk about this. Let's reach a compromise here. Do we really need, you know, a gun that fires 20 bullets without having to reload? You know, that sort of stuff.
It's a lot of ways, it's, I almost think of it as like religion. You're raised in a gun family from birth.
Yeah.
You're a gun is put in your hand, you go out to the range, it becomes this rite of passage, and you grow up with it. It's your right as an American, and people, maybe it's the groups you're in, the NRA or whatever, tell you they're trying to take this away from you, and it's your right as an American. And so you're on the defensive the entire time, and you can't have a rational
discussion. But you're brainwashed.
Right, right. But at the same time, maybe they just shouldn't ask these people their opinions on things.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to get into it, but because I know we have fans that have varying viewpoints, and I don't want to alienate anyone. But it's just, it's getting to the point where something has to be done.
Well, it's like this. When something really bad happens, all you want is for it to stop. Can we find a way to stop this shit?
And well, it's not only, if this isn't an, the thing that annoys me the most is this isn't an isolated incident.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. When something like this happens, you are like, can this please stop happening? It's happening way too often. What can we do to help? The first thing you ask about is, well, how do you get those guns? That's the first thing. And also, what is mentally wrong with this person? Why couldn't anyone spot it? You know, and that's always what happens every time something like this happens. And they're valid questions. It's a valid argument.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, we're just going to leave it there. Here's
you're just a heel. You know that, right?
Hey.
People really need to stop taking pictures of their genitals.
Huh?
Yeah, they just do. I mean, their own, like, with their phone and then accidentally, air quotes, pushing the wrong button. Well, here in the UK, a police inspector was sacked after posted a picture of his penis on Facebook, and he claimed that he meant to text it to his girlfriend and push the wrong button.
Pernius.
Now, I've taken pictures on my phone,
wait,
of my penis.
Okay.
But at the top, you can choose, like, Facebook, you know, message, all that stuff. When you choose Facebook, the window comes up that says Facebook.
Right.
You know you're putting it on Facebook.
Let me get a look at his penis.
Unless he's blind and dumb, it just... He did it on purpose.
Or just little bit like, you know what, maybe I could show everyone this instead of just my
girlfriend. I'm so proud of my manhood that I want to put it on Facebook.
I haven't seen a penis in 2 years. I can't.
Northamptonshire officer Damon Johnson, 45, was fired after stunned staff spotted
the... Dude!
Huh?
His last name is Johnson?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Johnson. He was fired after a stunned staff spotted the explicit image on a social networking site. Here's another thing. Don't friend people you work with.
My Johnson is 12 inches long.
Well, I don't know. They don't have details here. But
I guess if you were 12 inches, be like, hey, everybody, check this out. Yeah, pretty proud of yourself.
I probably would be posting it on Facebook all day.
Hey, get a load of this, huh?
But yeah, I love the
Jason.
Like him saying I pushed the wrong button is going to make the police department go, "Oh, well, in that
I'm giving
case,
this film an 8. I'm Leonard Maltin, to Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, Leonard Maltin liked it.
He did. He loves penis.
Dick.
All right, here's an uncomfortable story. A 22-year-old Argentinian woman has agreed to marry the man convicted of killing her twin sister 2 years ago.
What?
Yeah, Edith Cassis insists Marcus Singolani did not murder her sister. Singolani was convicted of the murder and is serving 13 years in prison. The couple said they plan to wed on Friday at a prison in the southern province of Santa Cruz. The death was mysterious, but still, I love the headline on FARC that's got to create some uncomfortable family Christmases.
I think you're off in the head.
Yeah, I love how, they've obviously gotten to know each other through, prison visits, and the woman's so enamored with the guy that he says, oh, he's just a guy who wouldn't hurt a fly. And that's the typical media line.
He wouldn't hurt a fly, but he would hurt a human being. So
yeah.
Who gives a shit if he does hurt a fly? I would hurt a fly. I would kill a fly.
Absolutely. If it's buzzing around my head, kill it.
That saying means nothing.
Are you watching this shit, man? It's fucked up.
I'm not a huge Brussels sprouts fan, but I do enjoy them once in a while. Like a nice... cut them in half, put them in first you get a cast iron skillet, and you put a couple pieces of bacon in there, and you render that bacon down, so you get a nice good amount of bacon grease, take the bacon out, set it off to the side, then you cut Brussels sprouts in half, put them in that cast iron skillet where the bacon grease is, and then put another heavy skillet on top of them, and then, it's a nice...
Wow, that sounds good. I've never, when I've eaten Brussels sprouts, I hold my nose and just eat it.
But it gets a nice, crusty, bacony, the sugars in the Brussels sprouts come out, and that's my favorite way to cook them. But it turns out that you can actually overdose on Brussels sprouts.
What am I going to say?
I guess you call this, cruciferous? I don't know, They're in that family of vegetables. But you can overdose on them because they have a lot of vitamin K, which promotes blood clotting.
What is it, a foot fetish?
If you take anticoagulants and you have a mechanical heart and you eat too many Brussels sprouts, it can put you in a hospital.
Whoa.
Yeah, this guy in the UK.
So he's eating something that's supposed to be healthy and it puts him in the hospital?
Yeah. The guy in the UK must love his Brussels sprouts because put him in the hospital. Doctors at Golden Jubilee Hospital in Clydebank eventually realized too many Brussels sprouts were to blame because it says, consultant cardiologist Dr. Roy Gardner, patients who are taking anticoagulants and are generally advised not to eat too many green leafy vegetables as they're full of vitamin K, which antagonize the action of anticoagulants. So, if you're taking anticoagulants, which are what is that called? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. But if you're blood thinners, don't eat too many Brussels sprouts for Christmas.
Right.
But I'll Brussels sprout recipe for everyone.
I definitely won't have this problem, Bill.
No, you won't. They do stink. But it's they're in the same family as cabbage, like mini cabbages, killer cabbages.
I wish to see blood.
All right, when you think people are going to steal something, you think maybe copper pipes or, from construction sites or whatnot. Well, in Athens, Georgia, authorities say metal thieves are suspected of stealing 41 lightning rods.
I can work with PVC pipe in my sleep.
From the parking deck of a hospital in Athens.
Say what?
Yeah, police say the rods are valued at $1,450. Now, is that a piece, or is that total? I would like the specification on that, because if that's a piece, that's a haul. I'm going to go steal some lightning rods right now. they were stolen from the Athens Regional Medical Center parking deck. And police say the security guard realized the lightning rods were missing Wednesday, but cannot recall when he last saw them. That's kind of something you don't pay attention to.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't really look at rods a lot.
Yeah, look at that lightning rod. That's really impressive. I should put that on Facebook.
Little bundles of joy.
All right. A New Brunswick man charged with beating his roommate to death.
Holy shit.
At a Princeton House Behavioral. Yes, thank you. Health Center in 2001 has been found not guilty by reason of insanity.
That some bitch is crazy.
If you're in a nut house, don't give a nutty person a roommate.
You're crazy.
You just don't do it.
Yeah. Hey, this guy's insane. Look where we are.
Oh my God, he beat that man to death. Yes, because he's crazy.
Oh, look who just walked in.
Superior Court Judge Thomas Sumners acquitted Michael Leal, 21, of murder charges because he did not know what he was doing when he killed 69-year-old James Dunleavy.
Guilty!
He had a mental break, the attorney said. He had an auditory hallucination at the time of the incident that would render him incapable of understanding his conduct.
Yes. Really?
Because he's like, crazy.
He hears like, and he's like, and just grabs an axe and starts killing people?
Yeah, apparently. Well, they don't have axes. Can I axes question in mental health facilities? I just don't think they have that. Not even a fire axe. So what have we learned from this story?
Don't have a roomie who's crazy.
Yeah, in a mental hospital, which is kind of hard not to have. So maybe they should just keep them separate. All right, and finally, we're going to end this on another food story. Will your next burger be ground-up mealworms?
I give this whole thing a sphincter factor of about 9.5.
Yeah, mealworms? The Wrigley beetle larva known as mealworms could one day dominate the supermarket shelves as a more sustainable alternative to chicken, beef, pork, and milk. Currently, livestock use about 70% of all farmland. In addition, the demand for animal protein continues to rise globally and is expected to grow up to 80% between 2012 and 2050. The act of clearing land for livestock is one that damages the environment on which people and other life depend. So now we're saying we're running out of land. We can't raise enough animals, so let's eat another protein source, mealworms.
Isn't it sort of gross, though, bringing that up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, can't we wait till we're out of stuff before we start eating that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, oh, no, we need a more sustainable food source than livestock.
And here's the twist.
Well, let's all turn into Man versus Wild. Bear Grylls eats them. They must be excellent.
How about freeze-dried food or something?
Oh, I love this argument.
Oh, no.
This is classic. Researchers found that growing mealworms released less greenhouse gases than producing cow milk, chicken, pork, and beef. Oh, well, then that's the case.
They're tiny.
Yeah, they don't fart, apparently.
Oh, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, so, and it'll take up less land to grow mealworms. So Merry let's just Christmas. Start doing it now. Ugh. I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat mealworms.
I'm afraid you're mistaken.
And quite frankly, I'll probably be dead before they decide it's time to eat mealworms.
Yeah, when it's time to eat mealworms, that's all we have. What about that sakubok sushi, frozen sushi? No, wait, what was it? Frozen tuna.
Frozen tuna, yeah.
It's sakubok, mother...
Okay, sakubok. Jeez.
Yeah, that makes it even better. All right, and that's news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Just run into my knife, mother...
Stefan, he's calling everyone MFs and talking about stabbing people.
Maybe that's how they talk in Sweden.
When do they ask him to leave? I didn't know Swedes were, that's like my homeland.
So angry?
That's where the Wallstrom name comes from, Sweden.
Really? But,
yeah, so I've got some of that in me, I guess.
You're Nord.
Sockublock.
Sockublock.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you for doing the news on this lovely Christmas episode of Nowhere in Mulberry. What do you say we do some DVDs?
All right, let's do them.
All right, let's do the DVDs. Wee-hee! Ow!
Let's do the DVDs. DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Hello, baby!
He's a little bratish.
Sorry, that was horrible. I ruined Christmas. What did Leonard Maltin think of that?
And I'm
that
giving this film an 8. I'm Leonard Maltin, Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, which film?
It wasn't a film. It was more of just a song.
It was
great
excellent.
Great ideas and good spirits.
Oh, well, thanks.
This is going to be the quickest DVD segment ever.
And what a lot of fun!
DVDs for Tuesday, December 25th, 2012.
All right.
We have one release.
What?
Looper.
Well, covered last week. I want to know what came out last week. Let's see. We haven't done the show in a while.
All right, let me bring that up real quick. Because I was like, oh, one. Excellent. All right, movies and music, Blu-ray. All right, so last week was December 18th, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, now we're talking.
Now we're cooking.
Quite possibly one of the most irritating trailers and commercials ever. I'll never watch this movie just because I hate the commercials. Pitch Perfect. Anna Kendrick, who I think is adorable. I think she's absolutely adorable.
It just clicked in my head what this is.
Yeah, this is the musical thing. And can we please stop putting Rebel Wilson in movies? She's not funny. She's grating.
What am I going to say?
Rebel Wilson.
I think the first movie I ever saw her in was that Bridesmaids, where she's the roommate of...
The gross roommate, yeah.
Yeah, but now she's, like, in everything, and she is the same in everything, and she's annoying!
What, does he have a foot fetish?
What?
She's just... I don't know what the deal is, why people think she's so clever, or... It's just... I just find her great.
She made friends with Judd Apatow or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just... Every movie that she's in... She was in that... not only was she in Bridesmaids, she was in Bachelorette.
What did Leonard Maltin think of that?
There's the same zaniness, the same big sight gags, and the same frenetic race to the finish climax.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing against her as a person, but I just find her incredibly... She's on a level of grading that surpasses Jonah Hill.
You're right about Anna Kendrick, though.
Yeah, oh my God, she's adorable.
Great ideas and good spirits.
I find her not only attractive, yet just I would like to hang out with her. Because she just seems very funny and geeky and cute.
Well, what about that other movie she was in? But this one...
But this time, it really works.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
These are not in alphabetical order because they're on Amazon and that's how they list them. I think they list them by most popular, actually.
All right.
Total Recall.
Ooh, is that the new one, Bill?
Yeah, the Len Wiseman one.
That was
Finish it.
Well, I was going to say that was a slow movie week, so why did I see that in the theater?
Yeah, I saw it because I knew it was going to be horrible. I just didn't realize how freaking boringly horrible
it
would
be. Here's what I'll say about it. Visually, you get somebody with a script of another movie and use those same sets, you could make a cool sci-fi movie, right? All the
possibly.
Same
I don't know, man. It all just seems...
It seems
so generic.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was very generic, but I'm saying use a different storyline. Just do something else and use the same sci-fi background or something. I don't know. It's just,
I suppose, but everything looked exactly like things I've seen in other movies.
Right. You know, I just thought that it looks cool, you know? I mean, it looks cool enough, and just do something else. I don't understand why they made a remake of Total Recall, honestly.
It was so, you know, you had the whole idea of the opening of the film. It was like, oh, that's kind of the whole idea of the fall.
Yeah.
You know, and how that was cool to me. I was like, oh, this could be interesting.
Yes.
The premise. But then the movie is so soulless and just boring.
And I'm giving this film an 8.
It's so derivative of other films.
Yes. But you know what? Kate Beckinsale's butt is what kept me watching.
Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel. But Kate Beckinsale especially, how can a woman become even more attractive as she ages?
And here's the twist.
I mean, she's adorable. She's also adorable. Same as Anna Kendrick.
Eight stripes on a horse, but that doesn't make it a zebra.
And Len Wiseman must be like a sexual dynamo if she's still with him. Because he is talentless.
Dude.
He is a void of filmmaking.
It's just that there's nothing special about it.
No.
It's like, sure, the film, sure, it looks nice visually, and they have floating... Dude, if I told you there's this cool sci-fi movie with these floating cars and there's a car chase, you would think, dude, badass. But then when you watch it, you're just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to go bathroom real quick.
Even the elevator chase, like the whole, like all these elevators move in all kinds of different directions.
I was happy something was happening in those scenes. Something's happening. Woohoo!
Something's happening, but I'm amazingly bored by it. Yeah, it was.
There was no humor in the movie. Why would you watch Total Recall, the original, and go, I'm going to remake this, but I'm taking all the humor out of it?
I'm taking the joy in ridiculousness out of it. And, like, they use Bryan Cranston in such a boring way.
Yeah, the dude is from Breaking Bad, and you see him on that show, you're like, I want this guy to play my bad guy. Then you put him in the movie, and you're like, I have nothing for you to do.
Huh? Yeah, you are going to be the world's most boring politician who happens to be evil.
Yeah.
And then they put Bill, is it Nighy?
Yeah.
They put him in as...
he has nothing to do in the movie.
Yeah. He's supposed to be Quato or something, basically.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Len Wiseman...
Cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four-fleshing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is!
Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
I love it.
That movie is the grand epitome, the cherry on top of Chevy Chase's career.
I love when the father-in-law, he goes, you're goofy. And he's like,
don't piss me off, Art.
Don't piss me off.
That Art has that another line there where he goes, after the lights finally turn on, he goes, those little lights, they aren't twinkling. Thanks for noticing, Art.
Yeah. Love it.
I love that movie.
The threshold of hell.
Yeah, I just love that movie. I just watched it. Amazon Prime has it on there for free, and I just hooked up my dad's new TV. I got him for Christmas, and it has like Hulu and Amazon and Netflix.
Is it all built
all
in? Those built-in apps?
Built into it. Yeah.
That's sweet.
The answer is
awesome.
A definite yes.
Because my dad is always bugging me, like, "Hey, what's your Hulu login? What's your Netflix login? What's your And I have to always go in his room and
it doesn't
do his
it?
Computer for him. And now he just has it on his TV, so he doesn't have to bother me. And speaking of my dad
it
loves
really works.
Movies that look horrible.
Okay.
And the next DVD that came out this past Tuesday was Trouble with the Curve. Yes, the Clint Eastwood is an old crotchety... baseball scout.
And he talks like this.
Is that just his voice now, or is he pushing that voice? I never know.
No, that's just his voice now.
I'm gruff and lovable.
No, he's not lovable. But he will yell at a chair.
Yes, he will. My favorite thing in all that stupid stuff was him yelling at Cherry from Pee-wee's Playhouse. That was gold.
That was beautiful. Oh, man. So many good things came out of that, though. Even he knew it was bad and admitted it. That was just, it was hilarious. Moving on, we have The Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days. I've never watched any of these movies, never read any of the books, but from what you've told me, Emma likes the books.
Well, she's finally picked up the, and it's funny because it's word of mouth in her class. Like, all my friends tell me that Diary of a Wimpy Kid's hilarious. So I was like, okay. So she started reading it, and she loves it. And,
good.
You know, speaking of Radio Dan, I remember a long time ago, he had the author, before it took off and everything, and there was movie deals and stuff. I mean, there could have been a movie deal already. I don't know, but
he still has one.
Yeah, he has the author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, but Emma's, I can see her reading it and she's cracking up and stuff. So that's really cool.
Awesome that she has something like that. Kids in general have stuff like that.
I love seeing her reading and just reacting because, you know, it's, when you're first learning to read and stuff, you're kind of just stringing the sentences together.
Yeah, but it's always books that like are trying to teach you to read.
Right.
Like, there's no love in it. And to finally get a book where like you're laughing and loving it and all that, that's wonderful. That's
yes,
key.
It's freaking awesome.
Really cool. And let's cover these two because the first one was good. The next two, not so much. But now we have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trilogy on Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
Yep. That's the original, the Turtles in... Secret of the Ooze and Turtles in Time. You know, the other thing I really want... I was about a quarter of an inch away from ordering you for Christmas that box set that's the turtle van. I was so close, and I was like, Bill, don't do it because it's too much money. Get him a game.
Oh, man. You know, Emma would love that.
I know. That's why I was going to buy it. That's why I was going to buy it for you.
That would totally be a for Emma gift. Well, yeah. I would still think it was cool, though, but I'd immediately give it to her.
One of my prized possessions is that Time Life, the real Ghostbusters set that comes in the firehouse.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet.
That show was so ahead of its time and so... I you know, as I'm watching the episodes, I'm like, wow, this is really subversive. How did they get this on Saturday morning television? Like, there are moments where it's just the pure insanity of it all. And that I watched that on Saturday mornings with my Fruity Pebbles. And the 90% of the jokes go right over my head until now as an adult. All right, so let's go back here. We have, you know what? Let's go forward in time now.
Okay.
So we're at the 25th, and Looper's out on Blu-ray. Let's go to. This is what sucks. The Tuesdays, which are Blu-ray release days. It's Back to the Future. They all fall on holidays. You have December 25th, Tuesday, and then January 1st, Tuesday.
Oh, so there's nothing coming out. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. So the only thing that comes out on January 1st, Tuesday, is Cosmopolis, which is the – it's been – I've heard good things and I've heard really bad things about it. The David Cronenberg film with Robert Pattinson where he spends the entire film in the back of a limousine.
Hmm.
I think Roger Ebert absolutely despised it, but then there's people that loved it. So
David Cronenberg is definitely a mixed bag. You don't know what you're going to get.
All his films. I think the last film that I think people universally agree on for him was Videodrome.
How could they get any worse? We're at the threshold of hell.
That Videodrome, I haven't seen it as an adult. I saw it as a kid, and you're kind of like, whoa, Deborah Harry doesn't have a shirt on here. And it's just a weird movie, you know?
Yeah, it's, well, Debbie Harry in generally.
I don't think I've even watched Scanners as an adult. I watched it as a kid, and I was freaked out by it.
I haven't seen Scanners since I was a kid.
Cronenberg makes...
That just the head-exploding stuff, I was just like,
I remember Dead Ringers. He's a fascinating filmmaker, but his movies are definitely, for me, a mixed bag, as I just
said. Oh, you know what? I take that back. That's my cliche. I actually really liked Eastern Promises.
Oh, yeah. That movie had one of the most disturbing throat cuttings in a movie I've ever seen. Yeah.
And the fight scene in general in, like, the bathhouse.
The nude bathhouse, yeah.
The penis-flopping fight scene.
I'm a grown-ass man.
And I didn't like his version of A History of Violence. I liked the comic book much, much better.
Shriveled floppy penis.
I liked A History of Violence. I really did. Because I get that mad sometimes where I want to...
Sure.
Kill Ed Harris. No, I love Ed Harris.
I'm not saying the film's bad. I just...
My favorite part of that movie...
The book better.
I love that. My favorite part of the movie is when you know his son is always getting picked on.
Yes,
and his son decides, okay, this bully's pissed me off, and he beats the living shit out of the bully. Where all of a sudden you feel bad for even wishing he would kick his ass. It's one of those moments like,
Cronenberg,
oh, this is
good at manipulating people in an uncomfortable way.
You think you want this to happen, and then when it does, you're like, oh my god, I wish I hadn't have thought this or felt this way. You know.
Yeah, and of course, I loved whenever they used him in Alias. Like, he was awesome in Alias as that, like, weirdo... he was almost like Walter Bishop in Alias.
Never forget about, in Nightbreed, he's the serial killer guy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I always wonder this. Clive Barker cast David Cronenberg as a serial killer, which be like, ooh, yeah, that might work. He's not an actor.
No, he's
cast
not.
Cast someone who's a good actor in the role, not some kind of, like, coup, you know, something that'll be neat.
Something that'll make people go, oh, look, it's David Cronenberg. Because that really kind of it takes people out of the movie.
He's terrible in the movie.
Yeah.
Only I want his balls.
And next we have, I wasn't my favorite season of Justified, but we have Justified the complete third season now
on
Blu-ray.
The answer is a definite yes.
I love that show.
I love it, too. I can't get enough of it. But season two, it's hard to beat. I mean, season two was just so freaking good.
Dude, I can't wait for next season. It's going to have Patton Oswalt on there.
Oh, yeah. I saw he's a cop or something that he has to work with. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the lady's name that played the
Turns
mother?
The guy's kind of a pussy.
Margot something. She was just so freaking good. And she actually won an Emmy for it and all that. And it was...
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, really good.
And that's the kind of show like my where I tell my dad over and over again, watch Justified, and he's like, oh, what is it again? And he's the one telling me to watch Breaking Bad all the time, and I'm just like, I'll watch Breaking Bad if you watch Justified, all right?
Yeah, this is a two-way
street. Jesus, stop it!
Now, we're going to skip forward just to cover, you know, January 8th. We might not be back by then, but let's just cover a couple because it's going to be a good release date. Dread 3D.
Holy shit! It's in 3D.
I can't wait. I am picking this up right away. I don't have a 3D set yet, but I will in the new year. I've already decided. I'm either gonna. I don't know if I'm gonna wait for CES, but I want desperately. I want the 65-inch VT50 Panasonic. So maybe the prices will drop. I've already decided I'm not going to use Best Buy because their financing keeps getting less and less, like the 24 months. And if I get a decent credit card with like a 18-month 0% rate, I'll just use that. So I don't have to get it Best Buy. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get it from that Cleveland Plasma that they're always advertising on AVS Forum.
Oh, yeah. That's a place where you can buy it and it's already calibrated,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Chad B. calibrates them there. They break them in, they do
so
the 100-hour break-in, and they calibrate them before they send them out.
Dude, so that is awesome.
That is the way to do it. So that's what I'm going to do.
I got to tell you, like, buying a Plasma was like the smartest thing I ever did. I had that... rear projection.
You had to clean it every month. I remember you would complain about, oh, it's time to clean it. All the bulbs going dim. I'm going to have to switch it out for the other one until
and
I wait till the new
one
comes
the
in.
The HD picture and all that at times, it was so high maintenance. And this other TV, I have to dust it on the outside, you know, like a normal object.
So this is going to really excite you. Maybe we can pull some good clips from this. The Mark Wahlberg epic Fear is hitting Blu-ray.
I know a genuine Panaphonics when I see it.
Foggy, you're behind on the subjects, okay?
So let me announce!
Say that again, Bill. What was
let
that about?
Let me announce!
Just open the door. Let him in!
The Mark Wahlberg film, Fear.
So let me announce!
There we go. Why would you let someone in the house who's yelling at you that much?
He's going to have to stay outside until he calms down.
You should have allowed nature to take its course.
Yeah, does he have to urinate? Is that what he's talking about?
Pee outside!
Yeah, what is he talking about?
I gotta poop too!
I would literally rather be, like, swimming in pee.
yikes. I didn't see it, but I'm looking forward to it. Frankenweenie 3D on Blu-ray.
And it will anyway.
Oh, Frankenweiner.
Frankenweiner. Frankenmatthew Weiner.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's really like Tim Burton. Sometimes I trash him. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's neat or whatever. Mostly his old stuff. But the fact that he released a 3D black and white animated movie is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
And speaking of black and white, on New Year's Day, they're going to show every Walking Dead in black and white.
See, that's cool to me. That's really cool.
Because that's some Frank Darabont stuff that he came up with.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Next, we have the film that Dax Shepard and Bradley Cooper, who have been friends for life, basically, decided, hey, let's make our own car chase movie in the vein of the 70s-type car chase movies, and let's lie about the insurance so that we can make it for $1.5 million instead of $50 million. The interview they did on Howard Stern was so insightful on guerrilla filmmaking, basically.
And it's a fun movie. I saw it.
Yeah, it really is.
I just don't remember what it was called, Bill. What is it called?
Hit and Run.
Yeah, that's it. It's great.
Tom Arnold is so, like, spastically fantastic.
Wait, when does that come out?
It comes on January 8th.
Oh, I can't get it for Heather for Christmas, so damn.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to picking this up. The fact that they made this for $1.5 million, shoestring budget, no, like, catering, none of that special stuff, and they just went, let's make a movie. It's just so charming that they were able to do it.
It's a fun movie. I think everyone should go see it, or buy it.
And Dax Shepard used all of his own cars and did his own driving. He's one of those car nut guys.
They even make fun of that a lot in the movie, which is funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, people who like cars like you look like rapists.
that's
such a great.
And that's the DVDs and Blu-rays. That's it.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
Pretty awesome. Woo-hoo!
Hallelujah. Holy shit!
It was empty without Steven.
Thank you. Good night.
Yes, it was.
Here all week. Try the VR.
He's with us in spirit. Christmas spirit.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a happy new year.
You're goofy.
That's from Home Alone. Well,
Home
it's actually
Alone 2.
Home Alone 2.
These people that run the hotel with Tim Curry up front run away from a man
on a TV.
On a TV, apparently shooting an automatic weapon in a hotel. It's just like it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, the second one is so weird. Like, the first one had the old guy that carried the shovel around.
Yeah, he was scary, but he turned out to have a heart of gold.
Yeah, and the second one has the hobo lady that likes birds. You know, it's just...
Kevin is so strategic with the remote, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The kid's a genius.
Yeah, those movies are something else, honestly.
Yeah. Joe Pesci.
I remember
seeing the first one in the theater
multiple times. I was at that perfect age where I wished I was Kevin McAllister.
I saw the movie once in the theater based on, it was the number one movie. Come on, it's got to be good. Yeah. I mean, come on, it's got, John Hughes did it, right?
Yeah.
Did he write or did he direct it? I don't remember.
He wrote it, Chris Columbus directed it.
Okay, so I remember being in the theater and seeing people literally, I'm not shitting you, falling out of their seats with laughter and thinking to myself, okay, I guess it's kind of funny, but really falling out of your chair? Come on. I didn't get it. It was like innocent family fun kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I was cynical Jason. It's like, yeah, I guess it's funny.
It's a goofy movie, but it's one of those movies that gets so grating by the end of it. Like, Macaulay Culkin's not an actor. He's never been an actor. He's terrible.
The same zaniness, the same big sight gags, and the same frenetic race to the finish climax.
And it's just, after a while, I was, even as a kid, I was watching it getting annoyed by the wet bandits. Like, are you really that stupid?
Yeah.
It got annoying to me after a while.
I wonder what Leonard Maltin
Harry and Marv.
What do you think Leonard Maltin rated Home Alone?
And I'm giving this film an 8.
Yeah.
I'm Leonard Maltin, Entertainment Tonight.
Oh. He loves zany films.
He really does. Excellent.
Incidentally, he's terrific.
Yeah, it just so happens to be that he's excellent.
Well, everyone,
that's
thank
such
you for
an insult.
Oh, sorry.
Incidentally.
Incidentally.
I wasn't expecting it, but it turned out he's pretty good.
Before I let you all leave, he's pretty good.
Just what an asshole.
Okay, everyone, welcome to the show. Oh, wait, we're starting over, Bill.
No, we're going back in time. We've got to go back to the future.
We do. All right, everyone, that's our show, episode 267, our holiday spectacular, but it was without Steven. I'm kind of bummed out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a holiday without Steven.
I have no idea.
He didn't even call. He was supposed to call.
Yeah, I'm going to try to call him real quick. Right. Just once. If it
just
doesn't
to
work.
Get a, just to get a happy holidays.
Yeah. If it doesn't work, then I'm giving up. And I'm hoping his number is already in here, but I don't see it. Luckily, I know it by the heart. What? That's not how it goes, Jason. Let's see. The number you're calling.
Thank you for calling the Skype pest line.
This is Steven.
Steven, it's Jason.
Hey.
Hey, hey, are you here? Hey, we're here on the show, and I wanted to give you a call since it's our Christmas episode. I couldn't go without seeing if Steven could be on the show.
Yeah, I've been stuck in the airport for 5 hours.
Holy
shit. I should have gone home at 6 o'clock this evening.
Are you still
How was the show?
It's great, but it kind of sucked without you, man. It's our Christmas wish that you'd be on the show with us.
I know. I try to get you to postpone it till tomorrow.
I know. We just have too many plans before Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, are you in Texas yet?
Yeah, I'm driving home.
Okay, well,
I'm
halfway there. It's a holiday tradition. I couldn't do this without you. We got to listen to Old Holy Night with you on the line. Is that okay?
Sure. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Just don't wreck your car.
Please don't.
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas, Steven. Merry Christmas, Bill. And Merry Christmas to all of our audience. Don't forget to donate to the NIM Holiday Pack.
Please.
You have Jaws with me and Steven, or Steven and I. We have Back to the Future with Bill and I. And a Star Wars show where we talk about Star Wars endlessly.
That's our indulgent show.
So go to the Nowhere and Mulberry website, and you click and donate, and we'll send that right off to you in a package with a bow on it. Pretty bow. All right.
And remember, whoever gets the biggest donation gets something special from me this year.
Yeah, Steven, how about that?
Awesome. Cool.
All right, guys, I hate to do this to you, but it's time.
Let's do it.
Not ready for this. Sing along, Steven.
Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night.
It is the night.
Of our dear.
Dear. It's beautiful, man. So beautiful.
Long lay the world in sin and error high.
It's beautiful.
Till he appeared and the soul fell. It's worth.
I love that.
A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder.
Bill, are you rocking back and forth in your chair?
I am.
A new and glorious morn.
Oh my God, here we go.
Nailing it.
Yeah.
The angels' voices. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My dog just covered her ears.
Oh, no. When Christ was born.
Love it. Wow. That is torturous.
Oh, we lost Steven. I think he hung up.
I think it was the song disconnected him.
the high phonics.
And so it was, Bill.
As this is in living sound, and it makes me want to die.
That's the best part.
Yeah, the cherry on top.
Shamalama ding dong. Oh, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Jesus, that like makes me breathless. I hold my breath during the entire thing to like deal with the pain being inflicted.
It was excellent. I'm gonna have to call Steven back just so we can say goodbye and call it a night, Bill.
All right.
We can't end like that. We gotta wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello.
Steven, sorry we lost you there. I know you hung up on purpose during the song.
I believe the high-pitched shrill cut the signal to the phone.
That's what we were saying.
It's like one of those old phone hacking boxes that certain phone made it disconnect.
Like that, what that guy who worked with Steve Jobs who invented those or whatever?
Was that Kevin Mitnick or whatever? Or no, Steve Wozniak. Mitnick was the hacker.
Yeah, Steve Wozniak. Well, Steven, thank you for calling.
No, wait, I called you. As long as I noticed when it dropped.
Well, Steven, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you.
Thanks. Bill? Merry Christmas to you and to Bill.
Bill,
thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Steven.
Happy New Year to you. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and all that stuff to all of our friends and family and listeners and all that kind of stuff. And we love you. Thank you for your support. And we'll see you next time, right?
We'll see you in 2013.
Yes.
We'll see you in 2013. Hey, we survived 2012.
Yeah.
Well, not yet. Bill has.
It's now 12:22.
It's 12:19
a.m.
I'm going to say we're out of the woods. Knock on wood.
Should I go out and knock on a tree?
Yeah, go knock on a tree. All right, guys. Yeah, see you next time. Let's go ahead and close this puppy out.
See ya.
Good night. Whee!
Hallelujah. Holy shit. Where's the Tylenol?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal.
Foggy? Technical difficulties here. He's half awake. We've done a long show, right, guys? All right, guys. Yep. See you next time. Laters. And donate to the NIM Holiday Pack. Check you later. I don't know how to end the show, Bill. Help me.
That's good enough. That's good enough. Bye.
Yeah, guys. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no. We're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
Christmas, you filthy animal, and a happy new year.
And what a lot of fun. And I'm giving this film an 8. I'm Leonard Maltin, Entertainment Tonight.